ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ, ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ, ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ. സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാത്. ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാനാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവ സാഗരേ. മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ. ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാദയോർസ്തവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യദ പ്രഭോ. നാമസങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവഭാവ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം. ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യതോന്വയാദിതരദശ്ചാർത്തേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാൻ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയെ മുഹ്യന്തി യൽ സൂരയ. തേജോവാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷ ധാമ്നാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തഗുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി. ധർമ്മപ്രോജ്ജിത കൈതവോത്രവരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണം സദാ വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം. ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനികൃതേ കിംവാപരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതിഭി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭി തൽക്ഷണാൽ. നിഗമകൽപതരോർഗളിതം ഫലം ശുഗമുഖാനമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം ത്രിപദ ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോരസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഃ. സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നമഃ. യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുപേതമഭേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈവായനോ വിരഹകാതരമാജുഹവാം പുത്രേതി തന്മയദയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാനദോസ്മി. യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപമതിതിതീർഷദാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനുമുപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം. നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദിം സരസ്വതിം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ. കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണു കൊണിദാതൃദാനനേന്ദോ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാം മുരാരേ മധുരിന്ന കനികാവി കാവികാവി. നമാവോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിൻമിതി നാമിനേ. നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവി ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യാദേശധാരിണേ ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ. വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജ സ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശ യാസാം ഹരിഗതോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദി ഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമ. പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായം അതിസുന്ദര മന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശ മനിഷം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി. കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണു ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യവരം ബ്രഹ്മ വാസദാം പുരതോ മമ. മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാ പരമം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ. ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ. സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. in the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is the major discussion about the two dynasties, solar and the lunar dynasties. Two dynasties are discussed there. So, in that discussion, when it came to the lunar dynasty, and where Krishna appeared, Shuka Brahmarshi or Sudeva Goswami closed that chapter, the last chapter, with few verses about Krishna's appearance and Krishna's life in Vrindavanam, Madhura, and later on in Dwaraka. Those topics were discussed in a few verses, and Shuka Brahmarshi looked at Parikshit's face. When he looked at Parikshit's face, that Parikshit felt that Srimad Bhagavatam is finished now. This is the background of the 10th canto. When Shuka Brahmarshi looked at Parikshit's face, Parikshit sensed that Srimad Bhagavatam is over. You can see, if you read the 9th canto, you will see how Sudeva Goswami spoke about the lunar dynasty. He says, in very briefly, in two verses, everything what Krishna wanted to, Shuka Brahmarshi wanted to say about Krishna, he spoke in two verses, and he closed the Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, and looked at Parikshit's face. He mentions there that jado gada pitrgriha brajamedhita artho hatuarivun sudashadani krado rudaraha ulpadya deshu purushakradabhis samije altmanam altmanigamam pratayan janeshu. In one verse, Krishna's appearance, he appeared in the prison as Vasudeva and Devaki's son, and then he was transported to Gokulam, where he was taken there, and he has filled up all their desires, and eventually Krishna went to Dwaraka, married 16,108 wives, and had 10 children born from all of them, and he instructed about the process of spiritual life to various personalities in this process of life. And finally, prithva savai guru guru bharam shabayan karu kurunam andas samuthagalinam yudhi bhupachamva drishtya vidhuya vijaye jayamudhigoshyam prochodhavaya jabaram samagal swadhama. That was the conclusion. He says here that the that Krishna has relieved Mother Earth from the heavy weight of the demons who were in the planet at that time. What Krishna did was they created fight among themselves between the demons. And finally, in the Kurukshetra war, he completely collected everyone together and got rid of all of them and made the Pandavas successful in that battlefield. And before leaving this planet, Krishna called Uddhava, Prochodhavaya jabaram samagal sudhama. He invited Arjuna Uddhava and spoke to him. Prochya Uddhavaya jabaram means that the highest knowledge in the spiritual field or in the world of spiritual life. Even what Krishna has not spoken to Arjuna, even that knowledge Krishna has given to Uddhava, Prochodhavaya jabaram. After that, Samagal Sudhama went back to the spiritual world, saying that Shuka Brahmarshi looked at Parikshit's face to see what the reaction was. It was at that time, so when Parikshit Maharaja or Parikshit King Parikshit asked her that question, that immediately he mentioned his unhappiness. Who? Parikshit Maharaj. He felt very unhappy at that moment. He says to him that Parikshit started talking to Shukha Brahmarshi, says to him that you have now spoken to me the solar dynasty and the lunar dynasty, Soma Vansham, Surya Vansham, and many, many great personalities you have spoken there, great, great kings who appeared in both these dynasties, about their life. This ninth canto is particularly a reference to their life, the great personalities who appeared in the solar dynasty and the lunar dynasty, that you have spoken, and I have heard them very carefully. But when I was hearing those stories, I was actually waiting for that activities of Krishna who appeared in that dynasty. Why have you brought it down to two verses and completed Bhagavatam like this? Parikshit asked the question directly to Shukha Brahmarshi, this question. You have to remember that this is probably on the end of third day this has happened. He asked this question directly to Shukha Brahmarshi. Why did you not speak about Krishna and you closed the whole Bhagavatam in two verses? This is how he mentioned it. So, what is the reason behind it? He says that, do you think that I am not qualified to hear about Krishna, or I just don't have the pious activity to my credit, or do I not have the good fortune to hear about Krishna? That cannot be true. Parikshit puts a question to him. Parikshit puts the question to him and says to Shukha Brahmarshi, that cannot be true, because Krishna's activities, Krishna's appearance, Krishna's instructions, anyone can hear in this world. Because generally people are in two or three categories, isn't it? In the Bhagavatam you will see this, mentions there that that Parikshit Maharaj says, I am absolutely surprised by this, because anyone can hear about Krishna. Anybody can hear about Krishna. Particularly those who are stuck in this material world, in material life or material existence, suffering in this material world, for them the greatest medicine, the best medicine for them is to hear about Krishna. And or those who are struggling in this material world, for them Krishna is the answer. Hearing about Krishna is a solution. Those who want to escape from here somehow or the other, that means those who are struggling here, they should hear about Krishna. Those who want to escape from here, they should also hear about Krishna. So, two categories. One, those who are suffering here, they want a relief here, they should hear about Krishna. Secondly, those who want to free here from here, go back away, go away from this material world, they should hear about Krishna. And finally, those who have got liberated from the material life, they should hear about Krishna. Those who are liberated, they should hear about Krishna. So overall his point was that everyone is qualified to hear about Krishna. Who is not qualified? That was the first question he has raised. First question he has raised. So these three categories of people, all of them require to hear about Krishna. All of them require to hear about Krishna. In other words, Adhikari Vedam doesn't exist. Adhikari Vedam means, in the Vedam, Vedic literature, everyone is not allowed to hear everything. For various reasons. Mainly because there is what is called as qualifications. Qualifications. Highly advanced spiritually, who have deeper understanding of spiritual life, they are allowed to hear, or who have that seriousness in spiritual life, so to say. That who have come to the platform of serious inquiry in spiritual path. Such personalities are allowed to hear the higher topics. Otherwise, ordinary people, if you bring them into spiritual life and give them the Upanishad's knowledge, it will not have any effect on them. They could not digest it, in other words. They are not ready for it. Basically, that is the reason behind it. Because if you don't have that vairagyam inside, jnanam and seriousness inside, jnyasa inside, and if you hear about Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, you won't take it very seriously. They won't take it very seriously. So that is the reason that it is not, that is called Adhikari Vedam. Adhikari Vedam means those who have that qualifications to hear. So if they don't have that qualifications, then they should not be given. Therefore, Puranams were written, and different Puranams were spoken according to their modes of nature, Satvikam, Rajasam, Tamasam. Puranams also divide into these three categories, Satvika Puranam, Rajasa Puranam, Tamasa Puranam, in that way. So what Krishna says, so here, Srimad Bhagavatam, particularly about Krishna, that anyone is allowed to hear about Krishna. Nobody, there is no restriction about Krishna. Therefore, why did you not speak about that? And Krishna's story is concerned, Krishna's pastimes are concerned, Krishna's appearance is concerned, everyone is allowed to hear about Krishna. Then, then Krishna Katha is not like hearing Vedantam, isn't it? It's not like hearing Vedantam attracts everybody. Krishna's activities and Krishna's pastimes attracts everybody. It is not like Vedantam. Vedantam you can see. When you discuss Ekadasha Skandam, people find it very difficult to digest it, to get relate with that. Whereas Krishna Katha is not like that. Anyone can hear about Krishna and anyone can enjoy listening about Krishna. Naturally, it creates, attracts everybody, Krishna. It doesn't require any higher education. You don't have to look at the age of the people who are listening, and doesn't require much of a scholarship or anything like that. So, Parikshit Maharaj's point was, I'm not an ordinary person like that. I'm not an ordinary person like that. Parikshit Maharaj is stressing this point to Shukla Brahmarshi. If you have thought about me, that I'm not qualified to hear about Krishna. I'm not like that. He says this to him. Because Parikshit Maharaj is mentioning this to Shukla Brahmarshi to remind him what is his position, who Parikshit's position. That is why you will see there, in the first chapter itself, you will see there, Draunyastra viplushtamidam madangam sandana bijam kurubandavanam jugoba kukshim gadamata chakra madushchameya sharanam gadayaha. Very important word. Draunyastra viplushtamidam madangam. He's saying to Shukla Brahmarshi, you do not know my background, he says. With full confidence, he's saying this to him. Why? Draunyastra viplushtamidam madangam sandana bijam kurubandavanam jugova kukshim gadamata chakra madushchameya sharanam gadayaham. He says that when I was in my mother's womb, Uttaradevi's womb, that you know very well that Ashwathama sent his Brahmastram to kill me. Ashwathama sent the Brahmastram to kill me. Who gave me life? Jugova kukshim gadamata chakra. Krishna cut open Uttaradevi's stomach, belly, and got inside with the disc in the hand, he mentions, and was running around me to protect me from the effect of Brahmastram. And he protected me. Madushchameya sharanam gadayaham. So leave everything behind, whether I am qualified or not, whether I have the knowledge or not, whether I have enough vairagyam or renunciation or detachment or whatever, ignore all those things. This incident has happened, which you know about that. And I have been fortunate to take birth in the womb of that mother, that great mother, Uttaradevi is talking about. Because when I was in Uttaradevi's womb, Ashwathama's Brahmastram came up, and there were many great personalities at that time who were present there. And five Pandavas were there, Yudhishthira, Bhima, Arjuna, Nakula and Sahadeva, all of them. And even though they were all present, my mother, Parikshit says, my mother, who is very pure at heart, did not call for any one of them. They came to you, to Krishna directly. And Uttaradevi never said, Arjuna protect me, or Yudhishthira Maharaj protect me, or Vrigodara, that is Bhimasena, who has got the club in his hand, protect me. He never cried that. What did he say? Pahi vahi mahayogin deva deva jagalpade anyatvam abhayam pashyal yatra mrityu parasparam. Saying that none of you can protect me, Uttaradevi went straight to Krishna. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, There are many great personalities who have surrendered to Krishna. Of all those who have surrendered to Krishna, Uttara Devi beats them all. Why? Unlike Gajendra. Gajendra was a great story of surrender, isn't it? Who knew how to surrender. Mahabali, who has surrendered to Krishna. Amrish Maharaj, surrendered to Krishna. And now we have got Uttara Devi surrendered to Krishna. What is the difference between all of them? If you look at them carefully, you'll see there. Gajendra initially couldn't surrender to Krishna. He had such a faith in his own strength and in the strength of his associates who were with him, all the other elephants who were with him. So it took a while for him to understand that there is no shelter in himself, there's no strength in his strength, there's no shelter in all around who was around him. So it took a while for him to come to that. That means he surrendered to Krishna at the end. At the end he surrendered to Krishna. If you look into Mahabali, Mahabali took a while to surrender to Krishna. Initially it was all me. I was capable of... He asked even to the went to the extent of asking Vamanamurti, what do you want from me? That was his mood. That means Brahmachari Vamanamurti had come and Vamanamurti is asking for something from me. He has come to ask from me. So in ignorance, Mahabali thought himself to be the controller and able to give something to Vamanamurti as a Brahmachari. Could not understand who Vamanamurti is. Again, its situation is different, is it not? Even Amrish Maharaj case also, the surrender has not been up to the extent like Uttara Devi had. Amrish Maharaj, when Durvasava Maharshi came, and Durvasava Maharshi spoken about the situation that which Amrish has landed in, that is that he had consumed the water before the time was over. And in the absence of Durvasava Maharshi, when Amrish Maharaj took the water to break the Ekadashi fast, Durvasava took it in the wrong way and cursed him. Amrish Maharaj, what did he do? He said, I can't do anything, I've done everything what I can. But the surrender was not complete still, to the extent like Uttara Devi did. Uttara Devi surrender in the Srimad Bhagavatam is considered to be the best surrender, best of all. Nobody can match that surrender of Uttara Devi. Why? So look at Uttara Devi's intelligence. All the Pandavas are present there. Kunti Devi was there. And great personalities like Bhishma and so many others were present there. In spite of all that, Uttara Devi decided to surrender to Krishna directly. That requires a special capacity. It doesn't come very easily. To know to whom to surrender. One has to know that. We also surrender, but we go and surrender at the wrong places. And then we suffer later. Oh, I shouldn't have done that, we say. But Uttara Devi's vision was so clear, she knew to whom to surrender. So that is why she said, Pahi Bahi Mahayogin Deva Deva Jagalpade Nanyam Tvadhavayam Pashel Yatra Mrityu Parasparam. So, my mother knew that in this particular situation, which she has landed with the Brahmastram from Ashwatthama coming in, she didn't even trust Arjuna. Imagine that. Arjuna was the greatest warrior at that time. She said, I don't think Arjuna can protect me. To that extent, she was so precise in her surrender and she surrendered to Krishna. Therefore, because my mother has surrendered, that is Parikshit's claim, because my mother has surrendered, I am qualified, he says. I am qualified because my mother has surrendered. And because she has surrendered, Krishna has shown that mercy to Uttara Devi and protected me in the womb of Uttara Devi. Therefore, I have every right at this point in time in my life, when I have to leave this world, I have every right to hear about Krishna. Parikshit put his claim very strongly in front of Subramarshi. Just see how Parikshit's feeling inside. You have to read Parikshit's mind now. How, what sort of state he is. Out of 7 days, almost three days have gone. It's the fourth day when 10th canto is beginning. So at that beginning of 10th canto, Parikshit was in a mood that 3 days he hasn't eaten. He hasn't slept. He hasn't eaten, he hasn't slept. He hasn't even drunk a drop of water. Imagine that. It is in that state, Parikshit is saying this to Shukha Brahmarshi. When Parikshit said that, Shukha Brahmarshi's tears came from his eyes. Seeing a serious student like this in the Srimad Bhagavatam, to get a serious student like that is very, very difficult. Is it not? One who is so serious about Bhagavatam. So, what Parikshit said to him was, if I didn't hear about Krishna, I am showing the greatest, ungratefulness. Not showing any gratitude to Krishna, because he gave me my life. This whole life, what I have led in this world, is because of Krishna. Krishna protected me in Uttaradevi's womb, and put me here. And if I don't remember him at the time of death, am I not showing the greatest, not showing any gratitude to him? I don't show any gratitude to him in that case. And is there anyone more ungrateful than me? Said Parikshit to Shukha Brahmarshi. So he says to Shukha Brahmarshi, I have no other goal in life except to hear about Krishna. He protected me, therefore I lived here in this world 60 or 70 years. Whatever time I spent here, that's all because he protected me and he wanted me to live. Otherwise I would have gone at that moment when Brahmastra was sent to me. So, I have only one desire, he said, to come simply hear about Krishna all the time and never satisfied with that and simply hearing and throw this body away. That's how Parikshit spoke. Simply hear about Krishna and throw this body away from this, in this world. So please explain to me in detail. Talk to me in detail about Krishna. One who has protected the whole Pandava race and one who has protected my own body. And if I don't hear about Krishna, there's nothing worse than that. This is how Parikshit spoke about it. at that point, Shukha Brahmarshi says to him that, my dear king, that last 4 days you haven't eaten anything. You haven't even drunk a drop of water. Are you not feeling hungry? Are you not feeling thirsty? And are you not feeling tired because of that? And what should I do? What should I say to you? Parikshit says, how can I feel hunger and thirst when I am drinking nectar? That's what he said. So imagine this relationship between Parikshit and Shukha Brahmarshi. Shukha Brahmarshi is feeling compassion for Parikshit, seeing his situation. And Parikshit is saying that you haven't taken a drop of water last 4 days and hasn't slept and you have been hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and now you want me to talk about Krishna in depth, in detail. But do you not feel tired about it? He says. Parikshit says, when you drink nectar, you don't feel tired, do you? He asked that question. So, that day and night, this nectar is flowing from your lips. Which nectar? The story of Krishna. Krishna's story. That is what he mentioned there. Viryani tasya akhila deha bhajam andarbahi purushakala rupaihi prayachado mrutyumudamrudam cha maya manushyasya vadasya vidvan. Maya manushyasya vadasya vidvan. So, he mentioned before also, Nimurta darshai rubagiya manan bhava ushadi chotra manodhiramal ye uttama shloka gunanu vadal puman virajedavina pashukanal. So, Parikshit Maharaj is questioning Shukha Brahmarshi, on what grounds, on what basis do you want not to speak about, why do you not want to speak about Krishna? So, and he mentioned that as long as I am drinking this nectar, where is the question of hunger or thirst? Normally, if you drink nectar, then hunger won't be there. Normal nectar from the heavenly planets, if you drink, there won't be any hunger. And or thirst either. Both of them doesn't exist. And the belief is that, belief means the fact that if you drink that nectar, you become immortal. Indra and others had that nectar, that's why they live so long. And that nectar, it is not that nectar I am drinking now, says Parikshit. Why? Harikatha Amritam, if you look, you will see there in the Avadhirya Dorvamshe Bhagavan Buddha Bhavana Kadavanyani Vishwalpa Tanino Vadavistaral. And finally he says, Naishadiddu Sahakshunmam Tektodam Abhibhadade Pibandam Tunmukham Bhojam Yachudam Harikathamradam. If I drink the nectar in the heavenly planets, I become immortal. But this Harikathamradam, what Krishna says, the Parishit says here, Harikathamradam and the nectar in these heavenly planets, there's a big difference there. Harikathamradam compared to all other nectar, the difference is it does good to you for both inside as well as outside. The other nectar, if you drink, which one? The one from the heavenly planets. If you drink that nectar, the only thing what you get is you don't die. That's all. Nothing more than that. You won't die. You get protected from that. But this Harikathamradam, this nectar about Krishna, is not like that. Not only that, Tunmukhambojachudam means when it comes through personalities like Shobhramarshi, Sudev Goswami. Example they give like this, that sweet rice, if it is properly prepared, is very good, isn't it? If it's done well, one has to know how to do it properly. And when the sweet rice is cooked and offered to Krishna, it brought outside, the huge pot, when it is brought outside, and we get that in a, sometimes, mostly these days, in a plastic glass, isn't it? You get that in a plastic glass. They'll give it to you. And if it's very hot, and it's very sweet, and it's so tasty, you drank that, imagine that, sweet rice, very well cooked, properly done. There are some specialists in cooking sweet rice. So imagine somebody like that who prepared sweet rice very well, and they brought it out, and because everybody wants it, at least Mahaprasadam or something we say, and we want one glass somehow, quickly as possible, when it's very hot and it's very good to drink. So you brought this glass of water, a glass of sweet rice, and you have taken it. But instead, imagine that somebody has given you a golden cup. And in that golden cup, when the sweet rice is brought outside from the deity room, before it gets cold, they gave you a glass. And they gave it to you in confidence, without giving to anybody else. And when you drink that, you feel much more happiness, isn't it? More than when it's given to everybody, it's the same thing. But without giving to anyone, if you are given a special glass of sweet rice, that especially in a very nice golden cup, and you are able to drink that, then how do you feel? There's a little higher taste for that. You know, the higher taste, what we get from that. So that is what Krishna is saying here. Tunmukhambojachudam harikathamradam. Vedavyasa Maharshi himself has spoken this. You know that. You remember? Shukhamukhad amurdadravasam yudam. In the Bhagavatam, in the beginning, Nigamakalpataror galidam phalam. Shukhamukhad amurdadravasam yudam. Pibada Bhagavatam rasam alayam. Muhuraho rasigabhu vibhavugaha. Keep on drinking this nectar, he says. Why? It has been spoken by Sukadeva Goswami. So, Vedavyasa Maharshi has certified that in the beginning of the Bhagavatam. Who is speaking? Shukhabrahmarshi is speaking. And Parikshit is holding on to that. He is saying that we know very well when it comes through your lips, because a realized soul, is it not? A realized soul is speaking, which makes a huge difference. It is speaking from realization and experience. That is why it's so sweet. That Harikathamadam. That is what he is saying there. That Pibandam Tunmukhambojachudam Harikathamadam. This Harikathamadam, when it comes through the lips of Sukadeva Goswami, the importance is that Nigamagalpadarorgalidam phalam Shukamukhadamurdadravasam yudam Sukadeva Goswami's Drava Samyutam, it's coming through his lips. Therefore, the taste has gone up a lot more than what normally it would have had. So, and he says there, Vedavyasa has agreed with that point. Yes, agreed with that point. Therefore, that Harikathamritam I want to drink, he says. I want to drink that. Therefore, what hunger and what thirst for me? He's asking back. Although 4 days he hasn't eaten or drunk. And he says, what hunger and thirst for me? So please, forget about all that thing. I want to hear about Krishna in detail, he says. I want to hear in detail. And his question was, Krishna appeared in Mathura. Appeared in Mathura in the prison. Then why did he go to Vrindavanam? And then what is the reason behind that? Then he came back from Vrindavanam back to Mathura again. Then he killed Kamsa. What's the reason behind that? What are the pastimes in Vrindavanam? What is the pastimes in Mathura? And then I heard that he married so many. He had many, many marriages. He married many people, many women he had married. And why did he marry so many women? Why did he marry them? And how did all this marriage happen? This is all Parikshit's question. How did all this marriage happen? Then I have got some doubts as well, he said. That so Parikshit Maharaj, when he said that, I have some doubts as well. Sukha Brahmarshi wanted to understand what these doubts are. Parikshit Maharaj told him that deliberately Parikshit raised this doubt about Krishna. Doubt was that, and this was a specific question, a very specific question which Parikshit asked to show to Sukha Brahmarshi, look, I'm not just hearing katha here. I'm trying to understand why these things happened. The question was here, he says, that that when you have spoken in the last canto, ninth canto, you spoke about Devaki's children. Devaki Devi had so many children. And you mentioned about Balram there, is it not? Balram was mentioned there. And among Devaki's 8 children, 7th child was Balram. 7th was Balram. And we all know very well that Balram is Rohini's child. But there you have mentioned Balaram as the 7th son of Devaki. And now we all know very well Balaram is Rohini's child, isn't it? And at the same time, I cannot see 2 Balarams anywhere mentioning. So how did this happen? So one Balaram, how could he have 2 mothers? How can there be 2 mothers? And how did this happen? One Balaram was born from 2 mothers. How did this happen? Where did the other Balaram go? This was Parikshit's question. So, in order to ask this question, unless you are hearing about Krishna very seriously, this question wouldn't have come up. Is it not? In the ninth canto, when the Lunar Dynasty was spoken, ordinary people, when we hear the story, we'll just hear and sit and listen. But Parikshit did not leave him at that. Parikshit said, I heard what you said, that you spoke about the appearance of Balaram from Devaki Devi. But we all know that Balaram is Rohini's child. So where is the other Balaram then? There must be 2 Balarams then. In normal course, that's what's expected. But there is no mention of about 2 Balarams anywhere. There's only 1 Balaram. And there are 2 mothers, Rohini and Devaki Devi, both of them. So how did this happen? I want to know. When he raised this question, Sukha Brahmarshi really liked that question. That shows what? That our Parikshit Maharaj is listening very, very carefully. Very astute listener. In other words, he is picking on everything. And immediately he is thinking about it. Why? What is the background behind that? So, why did he ask that? He did not ask this question to show or to impress anybody. But Sukha Brahmarshi, that hunger, thirst and tiredness is not affecting me. To prove that. That's why he asked that question. You are thinking that this is the 4th day now. I am hungry, I am thirsty and I am tired. Therefore, I won't be hearing properly. You may have assumed like that about me. who says this? Parikshit is saying to Shuka Brahmarshi, you may be thinking about me in that way, but that's not true. I'm asking you this question. And when he raised this question, Sudeva Goswami understood that he is listening and he is carefully, he has full attention, he is listening to Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, in the Srimad Bhagavatam speaker-listener level, there are three levels. The highest is Sudeva Goswami and Parikshit. He is the best speaker, Sudeva Goswami, and Parikshit is the best listener. Even Vedavyasa Maharshi, who compiled Bhagavatam, and Srinarada Maharshi, who spoke Bhagavatam to him, even they are of the second category. The highest category is Vedavyasa and, Shiva Brahmarshi and Parikshit. Finally, you have the last category, or the third category, which is Sudeva Goswami and Shaunaka Rishi. So, after all these three categories, comes all of us. We, the speakers and the listeners. So, you see where we stand now. How they were categorized, you know very well. That Shukam Brahmarshi's renunciation, that seriousness in spiritual life, and that thirst to hear about Krishna, complete surrender to Krishna, and hearing from a personality like Shukam Brahmarshi, who is in total realization of the truth. So both knowledge, renunciation, and devotion is concerned, both of them are on the highest platform. Therefore, they are considered to be the most perfect speaker and the listener. Even Vedavyasa Narada Maharshi comes second. Because you know why that is? Vedavyasa and Narada Maharshi, when they spoke each other, Vedavyasa had a little doubts about things, is it not? Mahabharatam he compiled. And after compiling Mahabharatam, Vedavyasa Maharshi thought, I have spoken everything in the Mahabharatam. Why this problem is coming? And then Sri Narada Maharshi had to come and talk to him about Srimad Bhagavatam and clear certain doubts. Only after that Vedavyasa accepted Bhagavatam. Before that he was not writing Srimad Bhagavatam. He stuck with Mahabharatam. That's one thing. Secondly, Vedavyasa Maharshi was not in the same situation like Parikshit. While hearing, he had some distress, but not to the extent like Parikshit had. Parikshit was leaving the body in few days' time. So the urgency to hear Bhagavatam, what Parikshit had, Vedavyasa didn't have. Vedavyasa had some questions to ask. So therefore he asked a question, Srinarada Maharshi told him, what's the cost of his distress? Those things are there, but it was not as urgent, or the situation was not as serious as Parikshit was in that situation. Is it not? Parikshit's case, he had only 7 days' time left. In that 7 days, he had to do the best what he can. And he decided that best thing is to hear about Krishna. Sukadeva Goswami has come to speak about Krishna. And Parikshit Maharaj told everyone who was present in the riverbank, don't talk anything about other yoga systems. I simply want to hear about Krishna. So to say that, that faith and strength of in the Krishna's words and in hearing about Krishna, Parikshit had even more than Vedavyasa had. That is the reason why Parikshit is kept above Vedavyasa, for this reason. And the speaker is concerned, Narada Maharshi, no doubt, has heard Srimad Bhagavatam from who? From Brahma. So therefore, no doubt Narada Maharshi has heard from a higher source. But Shukam Brahmarshi's hearing Bhagavatam is higher than Narada Maharshi's hearing from Brahma. Why? Because Shukam Brahmarshi on his own is an absolute Advaiti, he is. Monism. It's in the Bhagavatam very clearly spoken. Prabhupada has also mentioned that. He is a monist. Advaita Vedanti he is. And this Advaita Vedanti Shukam Brahmarshi, when he heard the verses of Srimad Bhagavatam from Vedavyasa, his heart started melting. That this personality, Krishna, Aho Bhagiyam Stanakala Kudam Jighamsaya Payadapya Sadhvi Lebhege Dinda Trujidam Kudonyo Kamvadayalam Sharanam Vrajema. Shukam Brahmarshi says here, I have not heard about anybody like this before. Pudana comes to him to kill him, Krishna, with the breast covered with poison. and allowed Krishna to suck that breast, hoping that Krishna will die by giving this poison to him. What happened? Krishna says, you have come to me as my mother and fed me the breast milk. You also go back to spiritual world. Who else has shown such a mercy in this creation? Shiva Brahmaji was completely moved by that particular verse. Aho begiyam stana kala kudam poison was on the breast. Jigham saya paaya yadapya sadvi lebhe gadim datri ujidam kudonyam kamva dayalim sharanam vrajema. Yashoda Devi went back to the spiritual world, being mother. And this Bodhana has come to me, like Yashoda Devi, she fed the breast milk to me. She should also go back to the spiritual world. Who else will show this kind of kripa or grace to anybody in this world? And hearing this verse, it's completely moved our Shuga Brahmarshi. And therefore, Shuga Brahmarshi took to Srimad Bhagavatam because of that. That is the main reason for coming to Srimad Bhagavatam. So, the way Shuga Brahmarshi has come to Bhagavatam, and the way Narada Maharshi received from Bhagavatam is different. So, this Shuga Brahmarshi is a transcendentalist who is in a very highly respected position. And that Sudeva Goswami has thrown away everything else and took to Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing about Krishna, seeing that Shuga Brahmarshi is spoken higher than Narada Maharshi. So, both Shuga Brahmarshi and Parikshit Maharaj, they are on a higher level than the Vedavyas and Srinarada Maharshi. Now, if you look into the third category, which is Suda Goswami and Shaunagar Rishi, this Bhagavatam, what we are reading, is between their conversation, between Suta and Shaunaga Samvadam, isn't it? Suda Shaunaga Samvadam it is. So, when Suta and Shaunaga Shaunagar Rishi is asking questions, and Suda Goswami is answering those questions. If you read those questions and answers, you will see that Shaunagar Rishi is asking questions which are not particularly important for a person who wants to go to spiritual world, who is in urgency to go to realize the truth. So how do you see that? Because there are a number of questions which Shaunagar Rishi has asked which are not totally relevant towards self-realization. Whereas Parikshit's questions, if you see, you will see, you will ask only such questions that will develop attachment to Krishna. Whereas Shaunagar Rishi wants to know many more other things. So that is the reason why Shaunagar Rishi's questions are relatively not that of a higher nature, like the way Parikshit is asked, or Vedavyas has asked, even on a lower level than that. Shaunagar Rishi's questions. And similarly, when Suda Goswami is answering those questions also, you will notice a big difference compared to Sudev Goswami or Narada Maharshi. So these three categories you have to recognize first. And among them, Parikshit is on a top level. And therefore, so Parikshit Maharaj, he says, so here, when he raised this question, immediately Shuga Brahmarshi sensed that I am not wasting my time. But Shuga Brahmarshi is a very serious person. You don't see him joking anywhere. And he is very economic with the words. He's not free with the words. He is very, very economical with the words when he uses something. And if he knows that whatever he is speaking is not benefiting to the other person, he will even go. He won't stay. He's not that kind of serious person he is, Shuga Brahmarshi. Shuga Brahmarshi has even criticized Krishna and Ramachandra in the Bhagavatam in different places. To that extent, he has that freedom to do that. Krishna has appreciated that also. So his position is totally different than others. It is not like Narada Maharshi or Shaunagar Rishi. It's on a much higher level. So therefore, when he found that Parikshit was asking such a question, immediately he felt very pleased about that. At least here is a person who hears the Srimad Bhagavatam seriously. And therefore, he says, seeing Parikshit's concentration, with the seriousness with which he is hearing, and therefore, and that Shraddha in hearing, when he saw that Vishnurata, you will see there, that Evam Nishamya, Suda Goswami is saying this, Evam Nishamya Bhrigunandana Sadhuvadam വയാസഗീസ ഭഗവാനദ വിഷ്ണുരാതം പ്രത്യർച്ച കൃഷ്ണചരിതം കലികൽമഷഗ്നം വ്യാഹർത്തുമാരഭദം ഭാഗവത പ്രധാനാഹ. പ്രത്യർച്ച കൃഷ്ണചരിതം കലിമൽഷഗ്നം. സോ നോ മാറ്റർ ഹൗ മച്ച് യു ടോക്ക് അബൌട്ട് ദിസ്, ഹൗ കൃഷ്ണചരിതം കലികൽമഷഗ്നം വ്യാഹർത്തും ആഹരതം ഭാഗവത പ്രധാനം. ദാൻ no matter how long we are going to talk about this, Srimad Bhagavatam is never going to come to an end. And it is where Shukha Brahmarshi is saying this about Shukha Brahmarshi. Shukha Brahmarshi knows Bhagavatam cannot be spoken in 7 days. This is in some places in the Bhagavatam you will see this. He is speaking in a samadhi state. Bhagavatam is spoken in the samadhi state. And while speaking in that samadhi, whatever that is coming to his mind at that in his memory, what is coming, he is saying it. It is because of that reason. You will notice one thing in Srimad Bhagavatam, things are not in an order. Have you noticed that? If you have read Bhagavatam, you notice it's not in one order. For example, in the 10th canto, if you read certain things, what has happened at the end has spoken in the beginning, certain things what has happened in the beginning has spoken at the end. For example, you will notice there that that means it's not in a chronological order or in a what they call it paurvaparyam, in the sense that it is not on a time basis that this happened first, this happened. No, priority is not based on what happened first. Priority is what's coming in Shukha Brahmarshi's in his samadhi. What is coming to him, he is talking about it. So that thing you have to notice in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Like you can observe one thing that in the Bhagavatam, at the very end of the 10th canto, this meeting between Krishna and the gopis happened. Where? In the solar eclipse in Kurukshetra, is it not? It is spoken in the Bhagavatam at the very end of the 10th canto. Actually, it has not happened then. It has happened way before that. Long, long time before that, that incident has happened. How would you know that? If you read that chapter properly, you will understand that. That this chapter shouldn't be there actually. It should be way before that. Because rishis, they didn't give importance to time. They have no importance to time. Time is not important for them. We will expect in a book, when we read, everything, put it in the proper sequence, isn't it? Only then it will make sense to us. We got used to that. History book, for example, when you read, that's how we created our own Chris history. We wrote our own history books, isn't it? Saying that this happened in the millions of years ago and then happened after so many years. So we like to give a time for everything. And that's how we can relate with incidents. Rishis don't believe in that. They think that if we do that, you are caught up in that. And they don't want you to get caught up in that. Therefore, whenever they speak things, they won't give importance to time. They also won't give much of importance to place where it happens. Because time and place are the two things which are the two agents of Maya. If Maya wants to get you, she will get you with these two things, through time and place. Because one time and space, in other words, time and place, time and space. If you are caught in the time and space, you will never get to know the truth, because you will always be after time and space. That is the difficulty. And that is why rishis, when they spoke, they never gave importance to time and space. And that you can see in the Srimad Bhagavatam very clearly. Many things what has happened in the previous days, early days in Krishna's pastimes, were spoken at a later time. And some things what has happened in the early days were spoken at a later time. Completely in the opposite way. Really opposite way. And we'll discuss that, we'll discuss 10th canto later. But Shukha Brahmarshi is concerned, Srimad Bhagavatam has no end. What we read of Srimad Bhagavatam here is only a small part of what was spoken here. This is not the whole of Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam in Kailasam, where Lord Shiva reads Srimad Bhagavatam, in order to finish, it takes over 6 months to finish Bhagavatam once. What we have finished in 7 days here in this planet, in Sri Parvati and Lord Shiva, when they are reading, it takes over 6 months. In Vaikundam, it takes over a year to read about Srimad Bhagavatam. Because Sankarshanamurti is talking Srimad Bhagavatam there. Anyway, what it is important here is that പ്രത്യർച്ച വൈയാസകീംസ ഭഗവാൻ അത വിഷ്ണുരാധ വിഷ്ണുരാധ. സോ വൺ ഹു ക്യാൻ എൻജോയ് ശ്രീമദ് ഭാഗവതം ഇസ് കോൾഡ് വിഷ്ണുരാധ. വൺ ഹു ക്യാൻ ഹിയർ വിഷ്ണുരാധ ആൻഡ് ഹു ഈസ് സ്പീക്കിംഗ് ബ്രഹ്മരാധ. ബ്രഹ്മരാധ ദാറ്റ് മീൻസ് ബ്രഹ്മ റിയലൈസ്ഡ് പേഴ്സൺ. ബ്രഹ്മരാധൻ, ബ്രഹ്മരാധ ഈസ് സ്പീക്കിംഗ് ആൻഡ് വിഷ്ണുരാധ ഈസ് ലിസണിംഗ്. ഹു ഈസ് മേക്കിംഗ് ദിസ് ജോക്ക്? വേദവ്യാസ്. വേദവ്യാസ് ഈസ് സെയിങ് ദാറ്റ് വിഷ്ണുരാധ ഈസ് ലിസണിംഗ് ആൻഡ് ബ്രഹ്മരാധ ഈസ് സ്പീക്കിംഗ് ആൻഡ് ഹി സെയ്സ് ടു ഹിം ദാറ്റ് മൈ ഡിയർ കിങ് ഇറ്റ്സ് എ വെരി സീരിയസ് ടോപ്പിക് വട്ട് വി ആർ ടോക്കിംഗ് അബൌട്ട് ആൻഡ് ദെയർഫോർ ഹി കോൾസ് ഹിം എ രാജർഷി സത്തമ. See, the respect Shukabrahmashi has for Parikshit. He says, Samyag vavasidha buddhi tavarajarshi sattama vasudeva kathayamte yajjada naishtigi rati. Samyag vavasidha buddhi tavarajarshi sattama vasudeva kathayamte yajjada naishtigi rati. He calls him Rajarshi Sattama. Rajarshi Sattama means That personality, Rajarshi means, normally he is a king. Parikshit is a king. That is, he is Raja, isn't it? King. And because he has this saintly nature in him, therefore he has become Rajarshi. He has become Rajarshi. And then, when he decided to give up his body, when he was cursed by the Brahmana boy, he has become what they call as Rajarshi Sattama. Because it's not a normal thing what he has done, is it? A personality like Parikshit, look at that spiritual strength inside him and the faith in Krishna. That when he was already he was a great personality, emperor of the planet at that time, Parikshit, emperor of the planet, number one. Secondly, when when he was cursed by Sringi, that he will die in 7 days' time, he did not counteract that. He did not try to counteract that. That shows the intelligence. When he heard that there is a curse coming like this, normally what we would have done, we would have gone and consulted everybody in the world what to do about it, isn't it? Parikshit didn't do that. Remember yesterday we were talking about that. This going against, when things happen in life like that, to go and fight against that, is not the highest intelligence. Highest intelligence is to accept that there is a higher authority making the decision. There must be a reason why I have been put into this situation. And accepting that without questioning that, that's intelligence. But that's not in the modern setup, that's not how it is. But Parikshit's situation was that when he was cursed by Sringi, Parikshit thought about this. Why did this happen to me? There must be a higher reason for this to happen. And able to accept it that way, that intelligence, therefore, he has become Rajarshi. That Rishi's nature, a Rishi's way of analyzing things. Rishis don't react to situations fast. Rishis always are thoughtful people, are they not? Because they are thoughtful, they thought about, Parikshit is also a thoughtful person. So when he was cursed by a simple Brahmana boy, he's 5 years old, he could have completely ignored that. And he could have found, looked for some ways to counteract that. But he sensed that there must be some higher reason behind it. And taking that into account, he decided to face it properly. Let the curse come. Let me see what will happen. And Parikshit's attitude was, if death is going to come one day anyway, if death is going to come this way, I'm getting an advance notice now. Am I not more lucky than anybody else? Most of us don't get any notice, do we? We get dragged into all the hospital wards, ICU everywhere, and finally one day, making misery to everybody, we leave this world and go. So, is this not a better situation? That what happened to Parikshit? You were given an advance warning. You have got only 7 days' time left. After that, Takshaka will come and you will die. So, Parikshit took as a blessing more than a curse. He was able to accept it that way. That is Parikshit's good fortune. You see, at the right time, the intelligence has to work in the right way. That one has to be very fortunate. Our intelligence, we will think that, oh, how can I fight against that? Oh, that hangaram inside will work like that. That is our problem, isn't it? Every situation when things go bad, go wrong, we think it's gone wrong, and then our ahankaram ego will dictate from inside how to react to it strongly. And then everything gets into problems, and then we either lose, most of the times we lose the whole thing and we go. But here you can see that Parikshit's calmness inside and able to see things through properly, he was able to decide that this is a golden opportunity I've got. I have to die anyway, in a few years' time I have to leave this world. Instead, Krishna has given me an opportunity, an advance warning, 7 days' time I have got. What should I do in this 7 days' time? Therefore, he is called Rajarshi. Rajarshi. A rishi's nature in a king. When you see that, he is called Rajarshi. And then, not only that, when 7 days' time was there, what did he do? He decided that, priyopavesham, remember, he decided to give up his body. That is how much these great personalities thought about their own body. Imagine that. That intelligence behind it. That they are able to look at their own body and say, what is this body worth at the end? Another 7 days it will stay with me after they let that body go. And instead of giving the freedom to the body, he took the freedom to himself to leave the body. Instead of body leaving him, Parikshit decided himself that I will do what I want, let the body go when it wants to go. That independence in him, that made him Rajarshi Sattama. This is the reason why Shuga Brahmashri is calling him like that. Samyak Vavasito Buddhi Tava Rajarshi Sattamaha Vasudeva Kathayamte Yajada Naishti Girati. That Nishta, Nishta means that steadiness in him. Seeing that strength in him, he was impressed by that. And he says to him, you are a Rajarshi Sattama. And I can't call you as a simple ordinary king. And and this seriousness what you have, who Parikshit has, it's not so easy to have it. To get that seriousness in spiritual life. To hear about Bhagavatam. To hear about Krishna. And you may think that Shuka Brahmarshi is actually trying to praise Parikshit. We call that Mukhastudi. Mukhastudi means you are trying to glorify someone to get something out of him. Sometimes people do like that, is it not? So if you think like that, that is not the reason. For example, the poets in the olden days, they will go to the great kings and they'll go there and they will write some nice poetry about the king, a few nice verses, and present it to the king. And in that verses, they will mention all the glories of the king, even if he doesn't have them. He'll mention all that and it'll please the king. And the king will offer this poet who had come with various presents and some cash or gold or something like that. So here, Shuga Brahmashri is not like that. He's not a person who is like that. He doesn't want anything from Parikshit. He's not looking for anything from him. He is in a, such a higher level. In the there are many examples like this. One poet like once went to a king to and wrote some poetry to give it and gave it to the king. So the king asked him this question, that asked this question that the, when he recited these verses about the king told him, where are you coming from? He asked this poet. Poet said, I'm coming from Kailasam. Mount Kailasa, I'm coming from there. So this king is also a little funny person. He knew that Lord Shiva and Sri Parvati lives in Kailasam. So he says, are they okay there? He says, just like, you know, you inquire about others. So he asked this poet, and he said he's coming from Kailas. He says to the poet, is Shiva and Parvati, are they getting on okay? Are they living well there? He said. So, as far as the king was concerned, he thought that Shiva and Parvati is living in this Kailas hill because he couldn't get any accommodation anywhere else. Therefore, he lives there. And they are just managing somehow. This is what he thought about them. And they are living there in the hill and I am living in a huge palace here with all my glory, all my wealth and all my subjects, everybody here. So he said, are they okay or there's nothing special about them? So this poet said, "I have come to tell you that," he said. "What's happening there? That's why I come here," he said. So made the king a little bit more inquisitive about that. So he asked, "What happened?" So the king wanted to know more. "What happened to Lord Shiva?" he said. He said, "Shiva is finished," he said. "Shiva is finished." That was the answer. What happened?" he said. The king said, "What happened?" He says, "That, what can I say? The situation is really bad in Kailas. What's going on there?" "Why, what happened?" he says. "Are they sick? Or they got illness, some serious problems? Heart failure or something like that has happened to Lord Shiva," he says to him. "No, no, no. What happened?" he says. "In there, in the in Kailasam, they had decided to make a partition there. Everything. They wanted to do a partition there. Parvati wanted her own wealth and Shiva wanted his own. So they decided to make a partition. Ardham Dhanava Vairinam," says that. So Mahavishnu says to Shiva, "Give me half of your body to me. I'll take that," he said. So half of the body Shiva has given to Mahavishnu. Then the remaining half went to Sri Parvati, took it. Sri Parvati took it. So half gone to Sri Parvati and half gone to Vishnu. So after that there was no body left for Shiva. And then next thing, once when a person die, what do you do? All the property and assets, you make the partition there, isn't it? So one after the other, Lord Shiva's all other wealth, they started partitioning. So when they looked at Lord Shiva, all his wealth was, there's loads of snakes all around the neck. All these snakes gone their way. They all left and went away from there. Where do the snakes go? They go to the lower planets, because that's their abode. Snakes' abode is the lower planetary systems. The moon went to the sky. He said, "I'll go and stay there." The moon went away. So everything went in every direction. And Ganga River, which is coming from Lord Shiva's head, she went to the earth and gone away like that. Only two things were left behind. What was that? Sarvajnyatvam. Sarvajnyatvam means Lord Shiva's knowledge of the transcendental knowledge, which is well known. Lord Shiva is the authority on the transcendental knowledge. So transcendental knowledge was left still there. And Shiva is the Sarvajnyan. So he says here, that transcendental knowledge has come and it has taken your shelter, the king who was asking this question. When the king heard this, he was very happy that I have become that. Knowledge of Lord Shiva has come to me. And another thing, what Lord Shiva used to do was to beg, because he had his kapalam, isn't it, in which he was begging for. He goes everywhere and begs. "That has come to me," he says, this poet says. "That has come to me, and the Sarvajnyatvam has come to you, and all others have got to different places." So when he said that, the king really liked it. Why? The way he put the question was such, he was telling him, "I'm a beggar, give me something." This was the message implied. But it was spoken in such a poetic language, the king really loved that way he put it to him. So he, king, immediately said, told the ministers to bring a lot of gold and jewelry and everything, and handed over presents to this poet. So poets do all these sorts of things, that they know how to please the king through their poetry. And they will use various things. These are all imaginary stories, but created to please the king, spoken. It is not a story that just happened in Kailas or anything. But the way he put it to the king to please him, then the king was impressed by that presentation. King said to him that, "I understand what you are trying to say," and called for gold and jewelry and given it to him and sent him away. Here it is not like that. Shukha Brahmarshi doesn't want anything from Parikshit, not looking for anything from him. Here, in front of Parikshit, who is sitting there? A Jivan Mukta, liberated soul, is sitting there. And liberated souls won't do such a thing. So, that is why, when he says this word, Rajarshi Sattama, normally people will misunderstand. Oh, is he trying to glorify him unnecessarily? and expecting, looking for some benefit from the king. No, there is no such thing. So he openly spoken the truth, what he felt about that. So he says to him, that it is not an easy thing to get to hear about Krishna, That taste for hearing about Krishna and to able to forget about oneself, this will only happen when there is some purity in the heart. Only then one can hear Srimad Bhagavatam properly. Because Parikshit's heart is so pure now, because of, you can see that the way he asked the questions and his readiness to leave the world, able to throw the body away, accept the curse as a God-given blessing and accept it. And using that 7 days, that seriousness to hear about Krishna in the low 7 days has come to him. Why? Because of the purity of the heart. So to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, normally the qualification for hearing Bhagavatam is that one must have some purity inside. Otherwise it is not possible to hear Bhagavatam. You can propagate Bhagavatam as much as you like, but you will see a serious student of Srimad Bhagavatam, unless he has some purity inside, simplicity inside, and some desire and realization of the miseries of this world, he would not be able to sit and listen, because he is controlled by Maya so much. So therefore, the Chitta Shuddhi has happened to him, and that comes from Krishna's grace. Krishna gives you that, you have it. Otherwise it's not possible. Therefore, Shukha Brahma Rishi decided to talk about Krishna in this chapter. And therefore, Shukha Brahma Rishi got a little bit more enthused by the questions, and he decided to speak Srimad Bhagavatam, especially about Krishna, in a way that will please Parikshit. So that is what you find in this first chapter of the 10th canto. You will see this whole mood in Parikshit and Sukadeva Goswami. You can see that in these verses. King says to him, Kathito vamsha vistaro bhavata soma suryayoho rajyam chobhaya vamshyanam charidam paramalbhudam yadoscha dharmashilasya nidaram munisattama tatramshena vadirnasya vishnor viryanisham sanam. Avadire dorvam sher bhagavan buddha bhavana kratavan yani vishwalma tani no vadavistaral nivarta darshayru bagiyamanal bhavaushadi chotramano bhiramal ka uttama shloka gunanu vadal puman virajeda vinapashudnal pidamahome samare maranjayar devam pradada aridimingalai devam pradadi adiradhai timingalai durathayam kaurava sainya sagaram. So it is at this time that another thing comes in the mind, that these verses in the 10th canto, particularly this early part, from appearance, Krishna's appearance, and that pastimes, childhood pastimes, Balalila. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has followed the relationship with the gopi seriously, isn't it? That is what Mahaprabhu's message to the world. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message to the world is Krishna and gopis. Gopi is devotion, bhakti. That is what Mahaprabhu has taken. Similarly, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Vallabhacharya Swamiji, who spoke the Pushtimargam, he has taken the early parts of this 10th canto, particularly the appearance and also the childhood pastimes. It's based on that Pushtimargam has come to this world. Vallabhacharya's philosophy had come from that. Whatever it may be, that this, what I'm saying is that the potency of these chapters, especially the early chapters in the 10th canto, all great devotees, great acharyas, great personalities, they don't know how to stop praising that. It is to such an extent influential in their thoughts, affected them in their thoughts. They have thought through these verses to such depth When they come to understand that, Krishna is present in this 10th canto completely, if you are looking for Krishna. Many years ago, a great famous scholar, who was very well known in speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, he came to the temple, and he was at his old age, almost, he was so ill that he was going to leave his body. Before leaving his body, he wanted to come and see Krishna at the temple. So he came there, and everybody who had heard him Bhagavatam from him before, for many, many years, they all knew that he was coming to the temple, so they all came to the temple to see him there, to be with him for some time. So he came inside and paid his respects to Krishna, and then he was moving out from the temple room. He was coming out. At that time, all the devotees who heard Bhagavatam from him before, he came up to him and told him that all these years we were hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from you before. This is the last time we may get this opportunity to hear. So if you are able to say a few things from Srimad Bhagavatam before you leave the temple, we would love that to hear as a last opportunity. Because they were all very serious people, not ordinary people, serious devotees, serious in the sense, regularly reading Srimad Bhagavatam, regularly hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, and they have taken Srimad Bhagavatam as their life and soul. These are the people. That was the system then, those days. They didn't have time for anything else except for Bhagavatam. Now we have time for everything else except for Bhagavatam. But for them, they had only time for Bhagavatam, not no other time for anything else. They were simple and satisfied with that in their life. Temple provided them prasadam, and they'll find some place to sleep. Doesn't matter. Wherever they could sleep, they'll find a place to sleep. They'll bathe in the tank, and their needs are concerned, they were so minimum. So minimum. But inside is filled with Bhagavatam. They were, when you have a powerful personality like that, he will create that situation around him. That was his capacity to do that. So this great soul who created that surroundings like that, when they were all so much affected by the Srimad Bhagavatam, so they decided to request him to read once again Srimad Bhagavatam before he leaves the temple, because they knew that he was not going to come there again because of the situation he was in. He was so ill and he couldn't, there was no possibility of coming back again to read Srimad Bhagavatam. When they said this to him, a group of people joined together and they told him, he is more or less close to his death, he knew about it, that the illness was taking over the body, and he knew that it is imminent, death is imminent. So what they did, they came up to him and told him, we have to hear Bhagavatam from you once again before you go. They requested him, pleading to him. And those days these facilities were there. Nobody was in a rush. And people had that simplicity and also had that bhakti in the heart, that when you have an opportunity to hear Bhagavatam, they won't throw it away. They will take advantage of that. And people were such, nature was such that they were not attracted by the world to the extent what we are today. Isn't it? So what happened? When they said this to him, this great personality thought for a while and he said to them, since you have told me this and this is the last opportunity, I will read Srimad Bhagavatam. And they went to one side and they sat down to read. In them days you don't organize a mic and you don't have a big organization management behind it. You sit somewhere, wherever there is some space, you sit there and start reading, and others will sit around you and listen to it. That was the system then. It was so simple. It was not complicated like today. Now you have to do everything in a most sophisticated manner, through the advertisements and whatever that's going on. So he decided to sit there and they sat around him, and they told, so there was one disciple, he was not a disciple, not his disciple. Many of them were his disciples in the sense that they have learned the Srimad Bhagavatam from him. So there was a relationship that way. But one of them who was not his disciple, who had heard Bhagavatam from others, and he was also very well known. So this person asked him that, which part of Bhagavatam will you read now? He's not going to read the whole Srimad Bhagavatam. So he said that I was thinking of reading Ekadasha Skandam, part from the Ekadasha Skandam. And if that is okay, he said to him. No, this person said no. We want to hear childhood pastimes. Krishna's childhood pastimes. We want to hear from you. Krishna's childhood pastimes, he said. So, the speaker, he said, I'm over 70 years old by now. I'm 70 years old. Egadisham, I can speak something. Because Balalila, childhood pastimes to speak at this age is very, very difficult. Very difficult when you are at that age. And to get that nectar, to deliver it properly in the Balalila. So he said, it's difficult for me to speak Balalila at this time. But Egadisha Skandam, some part of it I can talk about that, he said. So, but this listener, particular listener who asked for Balalila, he insisted. He said, I don't want to hear Egadisham or any other thing. I just want to hear this childhood, Krishna's childhood, he said. And he was also that, this person who was speaking, he said, are you really particular about this Balalila, about the childhood pastime? He said, yes, I do want to hear Balalila, he said. We all want to hear that, he said. All the group said like that. And after that particular day, when they came out, in their life, they never heard Balalila like this, they said. In their whole life, they have not heard about Krishna's childhood pastimes the way they heard that day. That was the experience they had on that particular day. So, such personalities who have gone to Bhagavatam to that depth, you won't be able to hold them back when they started speaking from Bhagavatam. So, and here you can see Sugar Brahmarshi's happiness inside. When he found that Parikshits want to hear about Krishna more than anything else, and that he's so focused, and his concentration, and his seriousness, Sugar Brahmarshi could not check himself. He could not stop himself. And therefore, Sugar Brahmarshi, when he taught talking Srimad Bhagavatam, this 10th canto, he is in a completely different, excited mood. In a very excited mood. So, he says to him, therefore, I will tell you, he says, the reason, first thing, the appearance of Krishna, why this appearance has happened. That is how he began. Why Krishna has appeared in this world? For let me start with that, he said. That's how the happened. So, in the 17th verse, you will see in the 10th canto, first chapter, Bhumir drupta nribav vrajam daityanika shatayudehi akranda bhujibharena brahmanam sharanam yayo. That is how the beginning. That then you know when this 10th canto actually begins? It begins from the churning of the milk ocean. It's from there the whole thing starts. From churning of the milk ocean, this has started. Krishna has recruited all the personalities who has to appear with him at the after the nectar was taken from the milk ocean. After churning the milk ocean, they got the nectar. After that, there was a famous fight between the demigods and the demons, isn't it? In that demigods and demons, in that battle, what happened between them for this nectar? Mohini Murthy appeared and she put them in an illusion and stole away the whole nectar and finally saved the demigods. And the nectar was given to them and they got back their youth. They were all old people at that time because of the curse from Durvasa Muni. In that battlefield, when the war happened between them, Krishna knew that I'm going to come again as Krishna in this Dwapara Yugam. And he started selecting who should come with him at that time. And that selection has happened there. That's why you find the personalities who had come here, they were all there at that time in churning the milk ocean. At that time they were present there. So, what happened was, that many personalities in that battle who were killed by Krishna, Vishnu form, were killed by Vishnu through the disc. In normal situation, they should get liberated. If you are killed by Vishnu, you should get liberated. But here what happened? They didn't get liberated. Some of them didn't get liberated. And because they didn't get liberated, they came and took birth in this world. They took birth in this world. And therefore, because of that, Bhumi Devi started feeling the problem with them. When such big demons come, they create so much demoniac activities. And how they say in the Bhagavatam is that Bhumi Devi got very upset when they all came here, all those big demons, when they came here. And she says to Brahma that I'm feeling a great heaviness because of the weight I have, the presence due to these demons. I feel very heavy. I feel that they are very heavy to carry them. It's very, very difficult. So Bhumi Devi says, I can't support them anymore. They are too heavy for me to carry. So at the end of Dwapara Yugam, where you can see that when you look at, in the historically if you look, at the end of Dwapara Yugam, the population was very high. Population was very high. We are saying, we have got only now 2000 years history, and we are saying that now the population is high. The earlier there was no, that is not true. Population has been high many, many times in the, historically. And many times many things happen and population comes down. Then it goes up again. Then it comes down again. This is a continuous process. So, because at that particular time, population did increase a lot. And you can see here at that time, many of that population was demonic nature. You can always see when the population increases, it will be demoniac, always. Like now. Isn't it? You can see that. Is there any doubt about that? Don't you think so? That when the population increases, it's always demoniac. It will become demoniac. It will lose all principles, will go, no morals will be there, will be willing to do anything. That is a natural way material nature controls us. She will teach us a lesson like this, put us through all these things, and we are thinking, feeling great happiness, or lifespan has increased. We keep jumping up and down about this. What's the use? At the end of the day, what we are seeing now, all over the world, not in one place, all over the world, practically, misery has increased. Everywhere, wherever you look around. One issue, the other. People are ready to kill each other any moment. Is it not? They lost all patience. That only you just have to look once somebody, they'll turn against you. It is that extreme situation is building up. So similarly, and this is also demonic nature is building up, that Mother Earth is saying to Brahma at that time that my weight has increased, not totally due to the number, but the people who are there have become demoniac. She's saying like that to him. She went up to the demigods and complained this to them. So here a question will come that so if they become wicked or demoniac, will the weight will increase then? That's a question, isn't it? Just because they become wicked, she's saying because they are wicked people, the weight has gone up, I can't carry them anymore. So this you have to think about this, why she's saying like that. So suppose all of them were pious people instead of demons. They say all of them were devotees. Will that not be a weight then? The weight will be still there, will it not? So if you put them on in a balance, the demonic people and the devotees, the balance will show equal weight. There won't be much difference, isn't it? So that is not what Bhumi Devi is talking about. Bhumi Devi saying to demigods, the weight has increased considerably because, an example, a mother, she has got a child, say 5 or 6 years old. She started going to school, and when the child comes back from school, she has got only one child. This child comes and sits in mother's lap, sits in the mother's lap. And mother has given some sweets for the child to eat. But even though, because he has gone 5 or 6 years, now he is heavy. But when the child is sitting on the mother's lap, mother is not feeling the weight. Mother is still happy to have the child sitting on the lap. Even though he has become heavy physically, she is not feeling the weight. Is it not? She's not feeling the weight. Even though, because 5 or 6 years old, then you don't go and sit in mother's lap, do you? When you're a small baby, you sit in mother's lap. But 5 or 6 years old boy comes and sits on mother's lap. Even though he's heavy, mother is not feeling the weight. Mother is saying, you sit down, have the sweet. Why? Mother is enjoying that. It is similar to that. When devotees are there on the earth, when they are serving Krishna happily, and they are Krishna conscious, then Bhumidevi is saying, I can hold them. It's not difficult. But if I get demoniac population, who don't listen to anybody, who have no faith in the Shastram, who don't accept Krishna's authority, who continuously question the world and act in a demoniac way, then my weight goes up. That is the point. That's the reason. From this example you can understand that. A child, it is not the physical weight that matters. Because there is affection for the mother to the child, mother does not take it seriously. Even though she doesn't feel the weight. She doesn't feel the weight. She says, it's my son. Because there is so much affection for the child, that mother feels that weight does not matter. Heaviness, I can manage it. She feels that. Similarly, Bhumidevi is saying, if they are all devotees, then I don't have a problem. I can live with them. As many devotees can come, I feel happiness in supporting them. But when I get all of them demons, then my weight goes up. I can't carry them. That is why she is saying like this. So similarly, Bhumidevi is saying here that if I have devotees, they are not a burden for me. Instead, it is difficult for me to support the wicked and the demoniac nature. So, and when she said this to him, all the demigods understood the situation because they could see those who have taken birth here are those who were killed in the, like you can say, Kamsa. All those people, Putana, Arishta, Bhaga, and all the Pralamba, these are all personalities who were in the great war for the while churning the milk ocean. They were present there, but all, many of them were killed in that. Some of them were killed by Vishnu, some of them were killed in the battlefield by others. They didn't get liberated. Even those killed by Vishnu didn't get liberated. So they all had to come back and take birth. And unfortunately they came and took birth in this world, in this earthly planet. So they decided that the only solution now is to go and talk to Brahma about it. They go to Brahma and spoke to Brahma about their misery, what they were experiencing at that time. So Brahma thought about that. As far as Brahma is concerned, his only responsibility is creation. Nothing else. His job is to create, and that he is doing, and all other things after creation, there are other personalities responsible for that. And as far as Vishnu is concerned, his responsibility is to protect and to maintain. And when the time is right, dissolution or devastation, that is Shiva's responsibility. Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva. Three personalities, they have three different duties assigned to them. So, and so Brahma says to him, because I am only a creator, Vishnu is only a maintainer, and the person who is capable of destroying everything is Shiva. Let's go to him and talk to him about this. And that is what you will see there in the 19th verse, he's saying here, that that Brahma tadubadharyadam sahadeva istaya saha jagam asatru nayana stiram kshirabayo nidhe. That that he before he says jagamasa trinayanam. Trinayanam is Lord Shiva, who has got three eyes. They went up to him, all the demigods, Brahma all together, and went up to him and spoke to him about that. That is in Kailasam it happened. Shiva thought about this and he said that when he looked at it, Lord Shiva says, it's not time for me to completely destroy the whole thing. It's not time yet. And therefore, it's not proper for me to do this. That was Shiva's position there. They discussed each other. Because when Shiva wants to destroy, his third eye opens. And from that, the fire comes and starts burning the whole creation. So therefore, what to do now? Brahma says, I can't do anything, I'm only a creator. Shiva says, it's not time for me to do this. When I destroy the whole thing. Don't look into this person, that person. Well, the whole thing will go. So here, a little bit of destruction is necessary because of this. So Brahma thought, Lord Shiva thought about that. And he also sensed another thing. He could see to these people whom they want to be killed. They want to be killed. They have all come here and they are going to get liberated. But when they purchase the ticket for liberation, they have developed a particular relationship with Vishnu, with Krishna in other words. What is that? That they will only serve Krishna in an inimical mood, not as devotees. You see how much we have already decided everything. Who is going to get liberated? How he is going to get liberated? All these things are decided. So these demons who are here, Kamsa, Jarasandha, Shishupala, Dandavakra, so many listed there in the Bhagavatam. All these personalities, Lord Shiva looked at them and said, they have come and they will get liberated, but the type of ticket they have got is not through bhakti. Is not through bhakti. We all got our own ticket. And that ticket only will work. Your plan and all won't work. There is a decided already which ticket, how, where you will sit and what you will get at the end. So they were going to be liberated in that way, that they will fight with Krishna and Krishna will kill them. So they have to fight. Lord Shiva says, I can't take them away like that because they got this ticket with them. You know, when you go for the matches, football matches, you got to the particular stand, you will go there with that ticket, isn't it? Same way. So that's what he says here. So I just can't hand over liberation to them because their ticket is saying that they have to develop that enmity first. They have to have that enmity towards Krishna. And that enmity, when it gets strong, they will get liberated. Remember that in the seventh canto of the Bhagavatam, what Srinarada Maharshi said, that Gopya Kamad Bhayal Kamsa Deshe Chaidyadayo Nurva Sambandho Vrishnaya Snehal Yuyam Bhaktya Vayam Vibho. This is a famous verse. We think that bhakti is the only way. No, bhakti is not the only way. So many different ways. The important thing is to have a relationship with Krishna in one way or the other. Doesn't matter which way it is. Gopis had a relationship through kama, through lust. Gopya Kamal. Kamsa had a relationship with Krishna. How? Through fear. Frightened about Krishna. Isn't it? Bhayal Kamsam. Kamsa was through bhayam, fear. We are thinking we are better than Kamsa, aren't we? We are not. Kamsa is better than us. Because Kamsa was 24 hours Krishna conscious. Always. You will see when you read Bhagavatam in the 10th canto, you will see how Krishna conscious Kamsa was. 24 hours thinking about Krishna. Imagine that. We, even after forcing Krishna inside, it's not going in. Our mind goes somewhere else. Whereas Kamsa was able to 24 hours thinking about Krishna. And Narada Maharshi says there that Bhayal Kamsa, he had fearful of Krishna all the time. When he sits, he will check the seat. Is Krishna there underneath that? Ready to get me. So that is how Bhayal Kamsa. Deshe Chaidyadayo Nurba. Shishupala. Shishupala what? Hated Krishna. So all these different emotions, fear, hate, lust, all these things, if it becomes very intense, then you get liberated. But you have to get it intense. You have to make it very intense. Our problem is we have no relationship. We have no hate, we have no love either. We just exist in this world. And if somebody says, oh, chant Hare Krishna, we'll chant Hare Krishna. If somebody says, don't chant Hare Krishna, we'll stop chant Hare Krishna. So this is how our relationship is. But they are not like that. When you think, read about Kamsa and Shishupala and all that, you will see. Shishupala hated to such an extent that he couldn't bear seeing Krishna. He says to everybody else, all the kings, this about Krishna is saying, who is just a cowherd boy, isn't he? He shouldn't be sitting with the Kshatriyas. We are Kshatriyas, kings. And when I see him walking, And he's got these anklets on his leg, on the feet. And it makes that noise. Like the women, dancers, when they wear that, when they walk, anklets on everywhere, on the belt, and everywhere there is little bells will be hanging. And when you walk, they will all make a sound, isn't it? Dancers, you know, when they do. When I see Krishna, he says, that I don't know what to say, he said. I just don't like it, he said. The way he walks, the way he looks, the way he talks, and the way he, all the dress, the way he has dressed up. Shishupala had no appreciation for anything, whatever Krishna does. He hated him so much. Deshya chaityadayo nirbhav, says, Bhagavatam says. Deshyam. Deshyam means dvesham, hate towards Krishna. Then sambandham vrishnaya snehad. Yuyam bhaktya vayam vibho. Vrishni is, due to their family relationship with Krishna, they had a strong relationship. All the Yadavas had a strong relationship with Krishna. Sambandham vrishnaya snehad yuyam. Pandavas had love for Krishna. Bhaktya vayam. Through bhakti, Sri Narada Maharshi says, we had a relationship with Krishna. All of us got released from material life through different emotions. Through different emotions. So, bhakti is always something to do with our emotions, feeling. Bhakti means feeling inside. The mind has to work. And there has to have some strong emotions towards Krishna. Doesn't matter in which form it is. But these are specific cases. It is not possible for everybody. They had come with those tickets. So they could hate Krishna and they could go back to spiritual world. They could be fearful of Krishna and they could go back to spiritual world. We can't go in that route. That's not possible. For us there is only one route, that is bhakti and surrender. There is no other way. So here, that when Lord Shiva talked about them, that they can't come, go in this way, they have come with all these different arrangements, so I can't do anything about it. Brahma said, I also can't do anything about it. Then they decided to go to Mahavishnu. And so they go to Vaikuntham, and that responsibility, who has? Not Shiva, Brahma has. Brahma knows the telephone number for Vaikuntham. Vaikuntham number he has got. So that telephone number is Purushasuktam. Purushasuktam prayers is for calling Mahavishnu from Vaikuntham. Just like we say sometimes, have you got the number, we say, isn't it? So similarly, right telephone number for Vaikuntham, only Brahma has got it. And that telephone number is Purushasuktam prayers. So, number we also got. But only thing is, when we dial this number, it's not answering from there. Purushasuktam is there in the book. You can study the prayers and recite the prayers. Only thing, Mahavishnu is not answering from there when we chant Purushasuktam prayers, isn't it? Brahmanas chant Purushasuktam a lot, do they not? When they do the deity worship, they have to chant Purushasuktam prayers. It's an important prayer in the Vedam. So, Purushasuktam prayers, they have chanting. The Brahmanas are saying this. We are also chanting. But there is no response coming from Vaikuntham. There is no response coming from Vaikuntham. So, but here, when Lord Brahma chanted Purushasuktam prayers, it rang, the bell rang there. The bell rang in Vaikuntham. And instead, from Vaikuntham, the question came, asking what is special going on here. They said that Krishna answered on the phone, says to him, so already Krishna knew what was going on here. The call came from the Golokam. Or Vaikuntham, Krishna, Mahavishnu says, like, in Bhagavatam it is like that, the way it is spoken, as Mahavishnu is answering the call, and he says to him, that I've already understood why you are calling me. Why you are calling me. When the Purushasuktam prayers were spoken, immediately Brahma answered back. He says here, Puryaiva pamsavadrado dharajvaro bhavadviramshayar yadushu bhajanyadam sayavadurvya bharamishvare ishvara sokala shaktya chavayam charel bhuvi. This was the response from Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu says to them, that I understand that Bhumidevi is with you, says to Brahma. And I also understand that that Bhumidevi is feeling the weight of the demons, and I understand that I have to bring the weight down, curtail that weight, and therefore I'm going to appear in the earthly planet. I'm going to appear here as the son of Vasudeva and Devaki, as their son, and all of you should come. I'm inviting all of you to come and appear there. So the demigods were present there. They started thinking about, the invitation was given, in other words. Krishna has offered the invitation to them. Those who want to come, they are welcome. All of you are welcome, he said to them. So when they got the invitation, demigods were very pleased about that. And demigods has earlier one invitation before, when Ramachandra came. Ramachandra invited them. And they came as the monkeys, is it not? They came as the monkeys at that time. So that demigods immediately thought about that. Oh, we had this invitation before, and that memory came up to them. So Krishna says to them that it is not like that invitation I gave you before, that I'm not, because there it was very clear. When Ramachandra came and when the invitation was given, the idea was that he told specifically that I need your help in this appearance. So you come as these monkeys. All the different demigods have come as the monkeys, Jambavan and other, Anjaneya and Angada, and so many listed there. So, but here, I'm not asking for your help, he said. I'm not asking for your help. But if you want to join me in this incarnation, and if you have that desire, you can start now. Prepare for that. But I'm not asking for any help here. It will be my own way of doing things. It's different. So when they heard that, demigods thought, this is a little serious affair. Previously, Ramachandra came, Ramachandra invited everybody and said to them that I need your help. But in this appearance, he's very straightforward, saying that I don't need any one of you. I can manage it. But if you want to join me, you can come. It's a little different, isn't it? Inviting in a different way. Normally, if you invite somebody that you are inviting, look, if you want, you can come. I don't want RSVP or anything. Just come if you want to come. If you don't want to come, don't come. That kind of mood. It's not an invitation like the way Ramachandra has invited them. Ramachandra was inviting them. So, only difference, he said, that this time, that Sangharshamurthy Balaram, instead of coming as my younger brother, he will come as my elder brother. All these things he told to the demigods. I'll come as my elder brother. There are some changes in these incarnations. And Mahalakshmi is also coming. Lakshmi Devi is also coming. In addition to that, Durga Devi is also coming. Durga Devi is also coming. And she is going to appear first. She's going to appear first. You will notice there in the Bhagavatam that Vishnor Maya Bhagavati Yaya Samohidam Jagat Adishtam Prabhunam Shena Karyarthe Sambhavishyadi. Karyarthe Sambhavishyadi. That Vishnor Maya Bhagavati Yaya Samohidam Jagat Prakriti, material nature, Sri Parvati, she is coming. She is coming. Adishta Prabhunamshena Karyarthe Sambhavishyadi. And she has a lot of responsibility. Who? Sri Parvati. What is that? First thing is that she has to protect Balaram. Where? In Devaki Devi's womb. She has to transfer Balaram from Devaki Devi's womb to Rohini's womb. A big thing, isn't it? Transferring life, something from one womb to another womb, from Devaki Devi's womb to Rohini Devi's womb. That was all done to confuse Kamsa. To confuse Kamsa. Because Kamsa was told eighth child. This Balaram's appearance caused the confusion, which is the eighth one. Because seventh one gone missing. And was there one birth or not? All these issues came up there. So that responsibility was given to Sri Parvati, had to do that. Then secondly, Yashoda has to be put into illusion that day. appeared from Yashoda, but left it Devaki's daughter in the prison. For Kamsa, she is Devaki's daughter, isn't it? Because when she was brought back from Gokulam to the prison, Krishna was taken from prison to Gokulam. They exchanged there. And when they brought back Sri Parvati from there, Durga Devi, this arrangement was done by Sri Parvati in such a way. It has to happen. They were brought back here and put here. So that for which Yashoda had to be put under illusion. Yashoda didn't know what happened. Yashoda fell asleep. All she knew was after hearing Krishna's crying. Only then she knew that baby is born. So this is unusual thing, isn't it? Normally it doesn't happen like that. So it was not a normal birth in that sense, because they were put under illusion by Sri Parvati. Sri Parvati covered her with illusion. Not only Yashoda Devi, that particular night, the whole of Mathura was put under sleep. Under sleep. Right from the prison all the way up to Gokulam, they were all sleeping. Nobody knew what was going on. And that is her power. Satugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam. All three modes under whose control working. It's her control. So she has applied that very freely. And we even now, we are also under her control, is it not? When she tells us to sleep, we sleep. When she tells us to get up and walk, we walk. When she tells us to speak, we speak. When she tells us to think, we think. When she tells us to eat, we eat. Yadevi sarvabhudeshu nidrarupena samstita. Namastase, 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 namo nama. You have to keep listening, listening, listening. No choice there, isn't it? Yadevi sarvabhudeshu. So many things mentioned. Buddhirupena samstita. We think we are intelligent. If she doesn't give us the intelligence, it won't work. Buddhirupena samstita. Yadevi sarvarupeshu krodharupena samstita. When we get anger, who is getting angry? She is getting angry inside. She puts us into that mood. She can switch the mood anytime she wants it, whichever way mood she likes it. So she is that personality. Adishto prabhunam shena karyarthe sambhavishyati. So then these three things, transferring Balaram from Devaki Devi's womb to Rohini's womb, putting Yashoda Devi in that sleepy mode, in illusion, and putting the whole population at that time in the sleep. Nidra Rupena Samstita. Everybody is sleeping happily. That was the first night Kamsa had slept after a long time. Kamsa couldn't sleep till then. That night Kamsa slept very well. Why? Because of her. She decided, Kamsa, you sleep well today, Kamsa had to sleep. Kamsa had no choice there. Kamsa had no choice there. And you will see, if you read that canto, this is a big canto, this 10th canto. A lot of things comes up from there. We won't have that so much time. It's already 5 o'clock. So, here, what happened was that, so the demigods could not understand why Sri Parvati had to come for all these things. But Krishna says to them, Vishnu says to them, we won't tell you all that now, at this point in time. There is a particular reason, therefore, and why Maya Bhagavati, Maya Devi, why she is coming, and Krishna himself won't reveal that to them. So, in other words, what it is saying to us is, Maya's activity is not possible to know. Maya's activity is not possible to know. It is so confidential. Krishna will never reveal to you what Maya is going to do. You will never get to know what Maya is going to do. And that is implied in that verse. Why that verse is spoken specifically about Sri Parvati, because she is Maya, Maya's control, is to tell us, don't fight her, you won't win. Don't fight against Maya, you won't win. And what Maya will do next moment, you won't be able to predict and you won't be able to find out either. It is not possible. To confirm that, it is spoken here itself, that even demigods could not understand why she had to come. And Krishna won't reveal that to them. So, she is coming, that's all he said. When she said to them that Maya Devi is coming, demigods were more confused. You can understand why. Who is not confused with Maya? Is it not? Maya is the most powerful force in this world. Everybody is confused about Maya. So anyway, they were happy to see that Mayadevi is coming. So what it is indicating is that why all these things were spoken here is that to tell us it's not an ordinary appearance. This Krishna's appearance is not an ordinary appearance. It's not like the Malsyam, Kormam, Varaham, Simham, Vamanam, or even Ramachandra's appearance. This appearance is so special. There is so much arrangement prior to this appearance happening. That means it's coming with the full potency. Coming with Mayadevi, imagine that. Coming with Balaram, imagine that. And the Supreme Lord Himself is coming. That is why this Krishna's appearance is considered to be the complete appearance, Purna Brahma. Isn't it? Edeja Amshakala Pumsam Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Absolute truth is Krishna. That absolute truth is coming here and coming fully prepared with every force under His command. And the highest force what He has under control is this Maya. And that Maya, she herself is coming to indicate to us that it's not an ordinary appearance like any other incarnation. It's not like any other incarnation. The speciality of Krishna's appearance is this, that when Krishna comes, He comes with the whole power under His control, particularly Mayadevi. Maya is the highest power in this creation. Whole creation is running under His control, under her control. And she is coming in advance to Krishna's coming here. So to indicate to us that this is not an ordinary appearance. It's not an ordinary appearance. So when they heard this, that Brahma looked at everybody, when they heard that Mayadevi is also coming in advance, everyone was very happy about it. But only the indication is that this is not an ordinary incarnation. It's a Purnavadara, isn't it? So Bhumi Devi was very pleased when she heard this. And Bhumi Devi's body, she was feeling, excitement in her own body. She felt that. Because why? When Supreme Personality, Krishna Himself is coming, He is going to walk on my chest. Earth is her gross body. He's going to walk on my chest. Because of that, she felt this extreme happiness inside. She felt that extreme happiness. Krishna is going to come and walk on me, along with this Sri Parvati and many others. Mahalakshmi is coming. Sri Parvati is coming. Everybody is coming. Krishna is accompanied by all great powerful personalities, and that made Bhumi Devi feel very happy about it. That is one scene. We will leave at that scene now. We'll go to Mathura in the next few minutes.
ചേതോദർപ്പണമർജനം മഹാദാവാഗ്നിനിർവാപണം ശ്രേയകൈതവചന്ദ്രയാ വിതരണം വിദ്യാവധൂ ജീവനം ആനന്ദാംബുധിവർദ്ധനം പ്രതിപദ പൂർണാമൃതാസ്വാദനം സർവാത്മാസ്വനം പരം വിജയതേ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ സങ്കീർത്തനം നാനാമകാരി ബഹുദാ നിജ സർവശക്തി തത്രാർപ്പിതാ നിയമിതാ സ്മരണേന കാല ഏതാദൃശീ തവ കൃപാ ഭഗവൻ മമാഭി ജഗദീശകാമയേ മമ ജന്മൻ ജന്മനീശ്വരീ ഭവദാദ്ഭക്തിരഹൈതുകിത്വയീനന്ദതനുജകിങ്കരം പതിതാമാം ശമേ ഭവാംബുധൗ കൃപയാദവപാദപങ്കജസ്ഥിതധൂളി സദൃശം വിചിന്തയ നയനം ഗലദശ്രുധാരയ വദനം ഗദ്ഗദരുദ്ധയാ ഗിര പുലകേർനിജിതം ഗദാവഭൂതവന്നാമഗ്രഹണേ ഭവിഷ്യതി യുഗായുധം നിമേഷേണ ചക്ഷുഷാ പ്രാവിശായുധം ശൂന്യായുധം ജഗൽസർവം ഗോവിന്ദവിരഹേണ മേ ആശ്ലിഷ്യ വാ പാദരിതാം വിനഷ്ടുമാം അദർശനാം മർമഹതാം കരോതു വാ
So that's one scene, what's happening there in the spiritual world between Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva and the demigods. What happened there? That's one scene going on there. Simultaneously, and that scene is over there, that Krishna has told them that I'm coming not alone, with Lakshmi, with Parvati, everyone coming down. Parvati means Yogamaya and Mahamaya. And Lakshmi Devi, she's also coming. And now we go on to another season here in this world, what was going on. That in Mathura, Krishna's appearance happened in Mathura, isn't it? So, so we have to look at Bhagavatam now and see there, so Shukra Brahmarshi is taking us all to Mathura. We have to go with him to Mathura to see the scene there. That Shukra Brahmarshi, along with Parikshit Maharaj and all of us, is taking us to the Mathura. Here, a personality who is running the administration is Ugrasena, the king. King is Ugrasena. But although king is Ugrasena, the administration was actually under the control of Kamsa. Kamsa's control, who is the son of Ugrasena. Ugrasena's brother is Devaka. Ugrasena's brother. And Devaka's daughter is Devaki. Devaka's daughter is Devaki. So Devaki, it was decided that Devaki should be married to Vasudeva. That decision was made. So, actually, not decision in that sense, that practically you can see that it's not an advance decision made. More or less this decision has been made and the marriage is happening now. It has come to that stage. So, Shukra Brahmarshi says here, marriage has happened. That's how he puts it. Not that the decision was made before, and what they say, the auspicious time to be decided. No, that's all over now. That Devi is handed over to Vasudev in marriage now. So when we get there, it is that scene. That's what's the scene here now. All these scenes, you have to keep it inside. Different scenes going on. Once, so the first scene, what's happening in the spiritual world, in Brahma Loka, Brahma, Shiva, and all the other devadas, demigods, they are all going and praying to Vishnu. Vishnu saying that I am coming, and I am coming with Sri Parvati and with Mahalakshmi, everybody together. Matter is very serious, in other words. The second scene, what's going on here in Mathura. So, when we get there, the marriage is already over. In Bhagavatam, marriage is already over. That means that those two personalities, who happen going to be the father and mother of Krishna, they are the ones, these two personalities that got married, who are going to happen to be, they are not yet, they are going to be the father and mother of the, for the Supreme Lord who is coming down here. And in that marriage, don't look into Bhagavatam, look into other Puranams. That marriage itself, if you want to speak, it takes about a week. What happened there at that marriage? So many things happen. But that's all left in the Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam has not spoken about any of those things. So let's understand, based on the Bhagavatam, that marriage is over. And Devaki and Vasudev has got down into the chariot. Devaki got into the chariot. And the chariot was Kamsa's personal chariot, which means that it is one of the most expensive chariot. If you say in the modern language, the latest model car, Rolls Royce, whatever that the latest is, in similar situation then. That chariot is fully embroidered with gold and jewelry, so it is one of the most expensive chariots with all its facilities inside, and it's standing there, and the sun is rising, the sun shining, and it's reflecting on this chariot. So you can imagine the beauty of that chariot when it is under the sun rays. So, early in the morning, about 8:30 in the morning, that is when this journey begins. After marriage is over, and Devi entered into that chariot. And when you look at her, she was well dressed with all the gold around her neck. She looked so beautiful. And Devaki, and followed with Vasudev, they entered into the chariot. And the god sat down in the chariot at that time. that you can see that there is in the ancient times, on those days, when an auspicious journey begins, there is proper music along with that to accompany them for some time for the chariot to go. So that music has started playing its soft, auspicious sounds they were making there. And at the same time, from the sky, flower petals were showered. So, and when they have left at that time, everyone was in a very happy state because of the marriage, and marriage is a very enjoyable time for everyone. And they were ready to leave. At that time, Kamsa walked into the chariot, and the person who was going to drive the chariot, he told him to come out. And Kamsa got into the chariot. Kamsa was a very authoritative person. You have to remember Kamsa's background also. Kamsa in the previous life was Kalanemi. Kalanemi was Hiranyakashipu's son in another life before. There's a long history behind Kamsa. So anyway, Kamsa got into the chariot. That means always in a very arrogant and aggressive mood. He got inside and he told him to come out of the chariot. He said, "This is my sister who is getting married, and I don't have another sister to get married later. So therefore, I'm going to drive the chariot just to show the that respect for the sister." How he was expressing in that way. So, and he got inside, and the charioteer who was driving the chariot came out of that, and everyone was surprised to see Kamsa was going to drive the chariot. He's a king, isn't it, ruling the place. So even Devaki was moved by that affection, what Kamsa had shown to drive the chariot personally. Vasudeva asked him, "My dear king, that why do you have to do all this? Somebody else can drive the chariot. Is that not good enough?" No, he says to Vasudeva, "I must drive the chariot myself." And seeing Kamsa's love for Devaki, and Devaki particularly, Vasudeva was very affected, moved by that, isn't it? It's not that Kamsa didn't have any love for Devaki. Kamsa had all the love for Devaki. But because all this has happened because of Krishna. Krishna created this situation in Kamsa, that Kamsa started feeling tremendous affection for Devaki. That's what Krishna does. When Krishna wants to punish somebody, he will create this feeling inside, an unusual attachment and affection for somebody, and then it will break. Once you break it, then you will learn the lesson that it's not good. And then you will come to your senses. So this is always happens in this world. You can observe this exactly. That's the way Maya works. So if the marriage was done in the proper way, Krishna cannot appear. So in order for Krishna to appear, Krishna created the scene in such a way that Devaki Devi felt unusual affection for Kamsa. Kamsa felt unusual affection for Devaki. And it is that affection that Krishna is going to break tomorrow with that. So Krishna is thinking, I have to give mercy to so many people when I come here. And so I need an opportunity for that. So in order for that to happen, this marriage should work out very well. It should go well in that sense. So it's all Krishna's planning behind that. So the chariot has come out of the big castle or the fort, what they had. It has come out from there. It was suddenly at that time, from the sky, this voice came up. This voice came up. And that sound was like this. Kamsa, calling from the sky. Nobody else is called in life till then. Kamsa like that. It was a shock to Kamsa. Somebody calling him Kamsa like that. From the sky, that too. Kamsa was in a rude shock because Kamsa is a king. And he would expect that respect while addressing Kamsa, like we say, His Excellency or whatever, so many things we put before that, isn't it? In various ways we can address the big people. So Kamsa was addressed just directly calling, "Kamsa," you calling like that. Kamsa didn't like it. He got so angry about that. He looked, "Who is calling me like this?" And there was nobody else in this creation to call him in that way. So Kamsa immediately told all those people who were playing the musical instruments to stop it, to who this is doing that. So he said, he again started giving attention to that. Somebody calling him Kamsa. So very very clear voice, it came from the sky. Kamsa, that why, due to your attachment to this sister to whom you are so attached, and that sister's eighth pregnancy, that's how they put it. Eighth pregnancy from that sister will kill you. First Krishna created the attachment to Devaki. Only when you have strong attachment, you can develop strong hate towards somebody. Krishna wanted to create that hate. So what did he do first? Created the attachment first. When you see Kamsa, look at Kamsa at that time, you should have never seen, there is no other brother and sister like this, you would think. To that extent, that attachment built up first. And after the attachment has been built up, and the chariot has hardly moved 50 yards or 100 yards, before that, this voice comes from the sky saying, Kamsa, this very sister to whom you are so attached, her child will, eighth pregnancy, not the child, eighth pregnancy will kill you. All very planned, meticulously planned from the top. That completely to confuse Kamsa, not to make any clear decision, because unless you have clear information, what decision can you make? Everything is confusing to Kamsa. So Kamsa looked at her, and when he heard that, Kamsa looked for a moment, and he says to him that when he looked, there was nobody there saying this from the sky. So that is why these words are called ashariri. Ashariri means voice coming from someone who has no shariram, no body. It's coming from the sky. Ashariri it is called. There's no shariram, therefore ashariri. Ashariri it is. So he says to him, Kamsa says at that point, that the person who is saying this, he is also frightened. This is the way Kamsa is. If Kamsa finds out, he'll kill him straight away. But because if Kamsa gets you, he'll give you four good ones and he'll finish you up then and there, isn't it? So therefore the personality is not there who is making this announcement. So most of the things are like this, ashariri, isn't it? So person won't be there, but he heard the sound, and that is a system in the ashariri. Ashariri, it is like that. So what did Kamsa do immediately? Up to this time, it was like jaggery and the fly. You know how the jaggery and the fly is? When there is jaggery there, open in a box, the flies will be there. And if you see the love for the jaggery and the fly to the jaggery, you'll be amazed how much they love. But that is suddenly gone, suddenly disappeared. So straight away, Kamsa jumped into the chariot, turned back, and lavender flowers, everything, so many garlands were in the hair, Devaki Devi's hair. Kamsa pulled the whole thing out and held on to the hair first thing. Held on to the hair first thing. And holding that hair, he pulled Devaki Devi from the chariot onto the ground. Chariot onto the ground. And normally as a king, he has got the sword on his belt, tying down. Pulled the sword out. And because he didn't want to kill Devaki Devi in the chariot, because the blood will drop inside the chariot. He didn't want that. Chariot is very expensive. It's very attached to the car, isn't it? Like us, we only also do some nonsense. We won't do it in the car because we don't want to make the spoil the car. We'll do it outside. So same thing that happened with Kamsa also. Kamsa decided that he's going to spoil, so pulled her out from the chariot. And by the time he pulled the sword out, Vasudeva came and held the hand. And Vasudeva says to Kamsa like this, that after all she is your sister, isn't it? And addressing Kamsa as king, great king, Maharaja, or empowering like this, and killing her is not a big deal. You can kill her any time you want. Not now. Any time if you like, you can kill her. And I'm not going to complain about that. That's not my issue here. But one thing I want to remind you, he says, and only after that is not sufficient if you kill her. Is that not sufficient? He says to Vasudeva. Vasudeva says to him, what is that, Vasudeva? What do you want to tell me? He said, you are thinking that by killing Devaki, that you will escape from death, isn't it? You are thinking that she or her son is going to kill you. That's you're frightened about. But normally you know that even if your sister, son, or the child born from this sister doesn't kill you, one day you have to die, is it not? Vasudeva is using one of the methods to bring him down, to pacify him. He says that the chances that death is already there for anyone who is born. And more than anyone else, you know that better. It makes it clear to Kamsa that you are not an ordinary person, you are a knowledgeable person. You know death is there, and you can think about that, and even if your Devaki's son doesn't kill you, death will come still. Mrityu janmavatam veera dehena sahajayate. As soon as you are born, death is certain, death will happen. Adhyavabda shaddandeva mrityurvai praninam dhruva. Any living entity who is born in this world, death is certain, is it not? So Vasudeva's first logic towards Kamsa, that if you are born, you have to die. So is that a big deal that you are thinking like this? That suppose you won't die, then it's okay. What you are doing is justified. But anyway, you are going to die, so what is the point? So that's not the issue here. So many things Vasudeva spoke at that time to Kamsa. And when these words spoken from the sky, that Devaki's child will kill him, there is a lot of ways there was issues in that statement which came from the sky. First of all, it didn't say the son will kill you. It didn't say. What it said was that the garbham, that means the pregnancy, eighth pregnancy will be the cause of death. Eighth pregnancy will be the cause of death. And then who has spoken this and with what intention it was spoken? Without an inquiring all these things, some voice came from the sky and spoke, and you start acting on that. Doesn't look very intelligent thing. Vasudeva was trying to pacify him and try to logicize with Kamsa by saying all these things. The voice said that eighth pregnancy. What does that mean? Eighth pregnancy means boy or girl, and how do you make that decision? And so that's not clear. So Vasudeva was pointing out all the uncertainties on that statement which came from the sky. He says to him, so, and apart from that, it's your sister. And just killing a sister like that is not a very heavy thing to do. Because, first of all, woman. And killing a woman without any reasoning, and that to a sister, killing like this. What will the world will talk about you? What will they say about you? Because Kamsa's got that that authority in him, and his ego is also very strong that way. So Vasudeva was exploiting that situation with him. Then another issue, he said, only they got married now. It's possible that Devaki may not have any children. That possibility is there, isn't it? Married doesn't mean that they got children. That marriage has happened, but whether they will have children or not, that is not guaranteed. Even then you are protected that way, is it not? He said. Then it is also possible that before Devaki had children, she could be dead and gone, who knows. Making Kamsa more realistic about this world. Kamsa is always thinking in terms of his interest. When a person is too much centered around his own self, he can't see the world. He won't experience the world, he won't realize the world, that death is waiting for him also. He's not conscious of that. So knowing all these things very well, Vasudeva is making him aware that look, this statement has come from the sky, but you are making a decision immediately without looking into all other aspects of that. So Devaki could be dead and gone before she has children, and it is also possible Vasudeva could die before that. That is also possible. And if it happens like this, that before Devaki has children, Kamsa could be dead and gone. All possibilities there. So when it is like that, should you not think about all these things before you kill her and create a bad name for yourself? This is how Vasudev put the whole matter in front of Kamsa. So, and suppose imagine that when none of these things happened, and Devaki had the eighth child, and if you think that child is going to kill you, if you think like that, what meaning has it got? Because Vasudev is saying this with a lot of fear in the mind. You have to imagine that. You can imagine Vasudev's state of mind. So that is why in the Shastram they call it as Samam, Dhanam, Vedam, Dandam. The four ways you should try to, before you use the Dandam, beating up somebody, you should try the other three, Samadhana, Vedam. And that is the accepted norm in the Shastram. That first you reason out with a person. If that doesn't work, then you give him some presents or charity or something and try to please that person somehow, Dhanam. Then Bhedam. Bhedam means that you logicize with him in a proper way and make him aware that all the aspects of the danger involved in what he is doing. And finally, none of them is working, then Dandam. That's the normal procedure. None of this is working with Kamsa. Kamsa is not accepting any of them. So at that time, suddenly he thought like this and says to him, Devaki's son will kill you. That is the word, isn't it? And the statement is that the eighth child or eighth pregnancy will kill you. So I'll do one thing. When every time a child is born, I'll bring them and hand them over to you. Then you can't, because that's the last thing, last resort. When a child is born, I'll bring over and hand them over to you. You can do whatever you like. Why kill Devaki now? That worked. That made sense to Kamsa. Because Devaki is not the threat. The child is the threat who will be born from Devaki. So Kamsa thought, that makes sense to me, because why should I kill Devaki? If the children that are born, that's going to be the problem. And one of them is going to kill me, eighth one. So, but here, Vasudev is coming forward and making an offer, just to say that he made such an offer that he couldn't say no to it. That was the type of offer. That I'll bring over all the children when they are born and hand them over to you. You can do whatever you like with them. So, but if you kill Devaki now in this state, then, Kamsa, you will be known as a, you'll be considered by the world as a very coward person to do this. And you can avoid that if you accept this proposal. And when he said that, when he heard that, Kamsa immediately put the sword back into the cover, into its cover. He put it back and left the hair of Devaki. Devaki's hair was left. Poor Devaki was all this time was shivering. She thought it's gone, finished, the head is gone, he said. But Vasudev, when he promised this, that he will hand over all the children to him, and in the Kshatriya style, Kamsa says to Vasudev, both are Kshatriyas, isn't it? So Kamsa says to Vasudev, touch the sword and take the oath. That's where they make that oath. Sword is their weapon, isn't it? So Kamsa showed the sword and Vasudev touched the sword and took the oath that it is truth. I will not break my word. In them days, people valued the word, whatever they have spoken. Not like today. You don't value anything. You do say what you like, you do what you like. No. So anything, different world, isn't it? If you ask him, if you say anything, then they say, oh, have you got in writing, they say. If you show it in writing, they will say that we have to check it out first. A lot of things now, different, isn't it? So, when Devaki said like, but for them, words were sufficient. They were that type of people, Kshatriyas particularly. They will say something, they'll hold on to that. It was an important thing for them. They respect their words. And if you don't value your words, they won't value you. They won't give any attention to your words anymore. So, here when he said that, Kamsa says to Vasudeva, now you are saying like this, that I will bring the children and all that. But once they are born, love will, attachment will develop at that time. And Kamsa thought, will you come back to me asking with some recommendation, saying that you can avoid all these things? No. He said, touch the sword and give me a firm commitment that children will be offered. So Vasudeva did exactly that, exactly the wordings what Kamsa wanted. Touching the sword and saying, confirming that children will be delivered and there will be no change in the position at that time. So Parikshit Maharaj thought at that time, when he heard this, that what not Vasudeva telling a lie? Naturally, because you see, Parikshit is a Kshatriya again. They won't like all these things. This messing around, they won't tolerate. Either you speak the truth or the head is gone. That is the nature they are. By nature they are like that. So Parikshit thought that Vasudeva was not telling a lie, keeping, that means inside something and saying something else outside to escape from the situation. Is that not what it is? This is what came up to Parikshit's mind. So, and instead of, because Parikshit later on, Vasudeva didn't hand over, isn't it? So, he has broken the promise, hasn't he? Here he has given the guarantee, he will hand over. What did Vasudeva do? Vasudeva took him to Gokulam and brought Sri Parvati from there, and that's what Kamsa got. So, isn't on what he broke his promise, says Parikshit Maharaj at that time. So, it's not like that. Reason is, without Vasudeva's knowledge, Saraswati Devi got onto the tongue of Vasudeva and made him to speak in a particular way, that when you read that verse in the Bhagavatam, you will see that even though it is spoken in that way, that verse can bring another meaning to it. This is how that guarantee was kept in order. Because otherwise, it will come out that Vasudeva is a liar. He has spoken a lie. And he didn't do what he was told to do, isn't it? And those things were considered extremely bad in them days. So, was Saraswati Devi knowing very well that Vasudeva should not speak a lie? Because when we speak something, who decides this is what we are speaking and the result, what effect it has on others? That is Saraswati's hands it is. Saraswati Devi, this Vagdevada, she is called Vagdevada. Vagdevada means that whatever we are speaking is Vaikari. Vaikari is, our thoughts are coming out in the form of Vaikari, isn't it? So when Vaikari is spoken, that Vaikari is controlled by Vagdevada, Saraswati. Saraswati has the ability to change the meaning in the words in such a, because she puts the word into our mouth, and that's why we are able to speak. We are not speaking. Yadevi, Sarvabhudeshu, everything goes back to her at the end. Vagruvena samstida. Vagruvena. Vagruvena means in the form of words. Say, for example, we speak something. We think we have spoken. We have not spoken. She has put the words into our mouth. It came out through our mouth in that way. So, therefore, she made sure that whatever Vasudeva has spoken is not a lie. In such a way, the wordings in the words also. So, Saraswati created that. Saraswati Devi, when a scholarly person reads that verse, they can explain that verse in a way that it is not a lie. It is not a lie. So, and that is why you will see that verse. If you want to analyze all this verse in detail, you can look at that. 54th verse in the first chapter. First chapter. Vasudeva Jan Nahyasya Se Bhayam Saumya Yadvagaha Sharirini Putran Samarpayeshya Yadaste Bhayamuttidam. He Saumya Ashiririni Vakedaha Tadahi Asyase Bhayam Nasti. That you don't have to be frightened about this words, what has come from the sky. Yada te bhayam tan putran aham te sarpayeshe. So, from whom you are frightened about, all those children, I will hand them over to you. And yadaste abhayam. They are breaking the words in the language. That is how makes that meaning changes. That means, if you have fear of the children, I will not hand over the child. That way, these words can be broken. Yadaste bhayamuttidam. So, when this happens, from those children from whom you are frightened about, that you are frightened about the children. Therefore, all those children samarpayishye. Putran samarpayishyesa yadaste bhayamuttidam. So, only those children from whom that you don't have the fear, I will deliver them to you. Only those children whom you don't have. That's the way they break the words in the Putran samarpayishyesa yadaste bhayamuttidam. That's the technique in the Shastram, how they have in the Sanskrit language's speciality. So, that means, from the first seven children, you don't have any fear about them. And I will hand them over to you. That's how the meaning comes out like that. And the eighth child, from whom you have the fear, I will not hand him over to you. All that is implied in that verse, the way it is spoken. So, therefore, that is Saraswati Devi's special mercy to Vasudeva. All Krishna's arrangement. Krishna has put all the things from... It's the same situation like Prahlada Narasimha, isn't it? Narasimha wanted all benedictions, that nobody can kill me in the day, in the night, with the weapon, with the water, with the air, with this, that, in the house, outside the house, in the day. All kinds of promises he wants. But Krishna has always something beyond than that. And same thing here also. That Kamsa wanted this, that complete... A demon's nature is always like that. He's always looking for security from every side. He wants to make sure that everything is insured and everything is taken care. We want to feel protected that way. But Krishna is saying to us that it doesn't work like that. There's no protection anywhere in this world. We are thinking like that. So, and therefore he says that I'm not handing over to you the eighth one, but all the other seven I'll hand over. That meaning also comes from that verse. So this was not even known to Vasudeva, but that meaning has come in this verse. It's come in that verse. And that was the protection Saraswati Devi has offered to Kamsa. So Sri Sudeva Goswami, he pacified Parikshit Maharaj in this way, explaining to him that. So in that case, when after Vasudeva spoken all these things, Kamsa says to them, you can go now. And Kamsa got into his chariot and drove back to his palace. And he told them to go. Catch the bus or whatever. The chariot or love is all gone. The attachment, this is, Prabhupada mentions there, demon's nature is always like that. He says, in one moment they'll be so affectionate and they'll kill you with their love. And the very next moment they'll put the knife on you. They won't have any problem in doing that. They won't remember what they have done in the previous moment. It's just the nature of that demoniac mind, how it works in this world. So, and then there is no more driving chariot, anything like that. Devaki Vasudev got into another chariot, somebody has arranged, and they got into the street and got home to their palace, wherever they were meant to live. Parikshit Maharaj, he says to Parikshit Maharaj, that Devaki Devi got pregnant very soon, and a first child was born. And on an auspicious moment, all the ceremonies were performed for the baby. They had to perform Jadagaranam, Garbhapum, Dinamagaranam, Garbhadhanam, all these things. And bathing, everything. Jadagarma ceremony was over, and Vasudeva says to Devaki that I have agreed with Kamsa to hand over all the children, and therefore you have to agree, I'm going to take the child, the first child, taken away from Devaki. And no matter how much truthful you are, a mother will find it very, very difficult to hand over the child if the father says, I'm going to take him to somebody to kill the child. So, and who will get that courage to do that, even as a father, to do that, to take it from the child, from the mother, and to do that? Who will get that courage? But here what happened was, Vasudeva is a personality who holds his word. And in order to maintain that, he is willing to bear any distress in life. Imagine the personality, their nature. That just because I have spoken something, to uphold my word, I am willing to tolerate any misery or distress in this life. That is how much they value what they spoke. That respect for the word. Once you say something, that you hold on to that. Isn't it? No distress at all. That is what Shobhramashi mentions in the Bhagavadam. For them, this truth is more important than anything else. If you give a word to somebody, you hold it. You promise, keep the promise. So Vasudev took the baby in the hand and arrived in Mathura. And not very far, they arrived in the palace and brought the child and put the baby in front of Kamsa and told him that to do whatever you like with the baby. So at that time, Kamsa thought about this and he says to Vasudev, seeing Vasudev's honesty, Kamsa was very impressed how honest he was. And he says to him that, I know that you are a very honest person. And only after you left me last time, I started thinking about it. He said, only the eighth child will kill me. That is the agreement. So why should I kill this child? He's not going to kill me anyway. Why should I kill this child? After all, he is my nephew, isn't it? He's my nephew. So take him back, he says to Kamsa. So, but at the same time, Kamsa made it very clear to him, the eighth child will not be spared, he said. I will kill the eighth child. On that agreement, and don't come asking me at that time for any mercy or grace or anything, nothing will be shown. I'll be killing that eighth child, he said. And you take this child and go home. Only thing is that for the sake of the peace of mind, after the baby is born, you come here and let me know as soon as the eighth child is born. So, I am not here to keep a number, counting, number, everything. I'm not going to do all that, he says. So, Kamsa started saying to Vasudev, you keep the accounting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Either you keep the accounting, everything. So, so first one or three birds, Vasudev informed. I had the first one and the second one, I had the third one. So he kept on informing Kamsa at that time. And that is how this registration business started. First started by Kamsa and Devaki. You know, now when somebody is born, you have to go and register, isn't it? So apparently they say that Kamsa is the first person who started this registration business. Nowadays, because you won't have a birth certificate otherwise. If you don't have a birth certificate, you won't get your pension. Even if you have worked whole life, they'll mess you around with that for a while. So there's so many problems with this birth certificate. Death certificate also same way. Without that certificate, they won't accept you in Golders Green. If you go there, they won't say, take it back. Bring the death certificate first, they'll say to you. So doctor's certificate that you are dead, you need a certificate. That you are born, you need a certificate. Only then you can stay in this place. Otherwise you can't. So this business started with Kamsa. Vasudev started registering. 1, 2, 3. Like that. Registration business started. Otherwise in the past, who was registering? A birth and death. What's the point in registering birth and death? That was the situation then. So anyway, that whenever a child is born, that Vasudev has to go and register the birth. Kamsa has told very clearly. So, only thing is that Kamsa's administration has become much more precise now in the modern world. Isn't it? Kamsa's system, we have accepted it, total. And we have implemented it regularly everywhere, all over the world. We have to keep record of everyone who's taking birth, everybody who's dying. But the system actually, Kamsa developed that. Started from Kamsa. So that is why there's not much difference in Kamsa's administration and the modern administration. Not a lot of difference if you think like that. If you read Bhagavatam, you will see a lot of things, similarities there. We think that we have found out something new, isn't it? Brand new, we are implementing it. And we have got fantastic computers to keep record of all these things. Kamsa also had his own style of recording it. He has own people who kept a record of all these things. So the four, that is why, that you can see there, that it was at that time, Narada Maharshi one day comes to Kamsa's palace. And Narada Maharshi, you know his responsibility. He has the responsibility for Krishnavadaram to happen. Krishna has to come here. All preparations, arrangements is Narada Maharshi's responsibility. So Narada Maharshi goes there and says to him that Narada Maharshi, everybody welcomes Narada Muni because he brings news from gossip. All the gossip from the rest of the world, Narada Maharshi delivers that. What they're talking about Kamsa in other places, Kamsa wants to hear. So Narada Maharshi comes and says to him, and then Kamsa asking, where are you coming from? He says, these details you won't find in the Bhagavatam. It's all in the Mahabharatam, if you want to read it in detail about this appearance of Krishna. So Mahabharatam talks about all these things. Narada Maharshi says, I'm coming from the heavenly planets. He says, and what is the special, what's going on there? Narada Maharshi says, there was a meeting in the heavenly planets. He says, I was invited, so I had to go. He says, he's invited everywhere, isn't it? If he doesn't get invited, he gets self-invited. He does that also. You will see in some occasions. For example, when Krishna got married to Rukmini, Narada Maharshi was not invited. Narada Maharshi thought, I'm not invited. But there is alternative, he said, I will invite myself. And what did he do? He got there. Although he was not invited, nobody said anything to him. But he not only got there, he started making all arrangements for the marriage. Seeing all that, everybody thought that Narada Maharshi is the most important organizer of the whole marriage. Krishna also enjoyed that, watching Narada Muni doing all these things. So he says there that in that meeting I was invited and I heard a lot of things going on there and I came here to tell you what's going on there, he said. So I thought I have to tell you this because, so making more curious in Kamsa's mind. Kamsa says to him that I heard this but I don't know, I can't tell you precisely what's going to happen. Ugrasena's son, you are. Do you know who you are, first of all? So, I'm son of Ugrasena, he says. Kamsa says, no, you're not. He said, that's what I'm telling you, he said. You're not son of Ugrasena. There was a very powerful personality called Kalanemi among the demons in the heavenly, in the world, upper world. And you are one of them. That Kalanemi is you. And how I studied about Kalanemi in the school, he said. The school and I went to study the history. I studied about Kalanemi, he said. See, you are that Kalanemi. Kamsa says to him, Narada Maharshi says to him. And you are the next birth of that Kalanemi. And in the last birth, you were killed by Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu has killed you, but only Mahavishnu can kill you. Nobody else can kill you. And in this life also, it is Mahavishnu who is coming here as the eighth child of Devaki Devi and who is going to kill you. And this is a very, very top secret that what is going to happen. And then I'm only telling you because I like you so much. Or, you know, the way you when you gossip, how you put it to the other person to react to the situation, how you put it, the normal way, how we do that. So don't think that, oh, it's my sister, they're my nephews, all this kind of affection and love. Don't cultivate that. And if you go in that direction, you will finally end up in the graveyard, he said to him. So, and I thought it's my responsibility, Narada Maharshi says, to remind you that. That's all I've come for, he says to him. So, think about this, and after that, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The journey carried on. Narada Maharshi took his veena, started chanting the holy name, walked away from there, did his business. And Narada Maharshi left. And as soon as this happened, Kamsa called his orderly or the soldiers who were attending to him, told him, bring Devaki Vasudeva here straight away, he said. And by now they had four children. There were four of them were born. And bring them all together, he said. And brought them there and told Vasudeva and Devaki, they told them to tie them down. Told the soldiers to tie them down to the pillar, both Vasudeva and Devaki. And these four children were four different ages. They were standing there. And Kamsa took them upside down, held them upside down like this. With the left hand, held the legs and put it upside. And the head hanging down. And with this, pulled out the sword and killed all of them piece by piece, all four kids. All four of them, piece by piece, he cut them and threw them on the ground. And imagine Devaki and Vasudeva's situation at that time. When you read Srimad Bhagavatam, what do you think? To have Krishna, if one has to go through all these things, is it all worthwhile? It is so much distress that they had to go through. It is so many things that Bhagavatam will open up our eyes. That Krishna could have avoided the situation if he wanted, couldn't he? After all, he is in control of the situation. But didn't happen. Krishna didn't happen. Krishna wanted Vasudeva and Devaki to go through this. Four of the children, and that children, they have their own history, which you will see later on in the Bhagavatam at the end. They'll talk about that, who these personalities are. So these four of them were killed like this, piece by piece, cut them into pieces and threw them out. And Devaki and Vasudeva, you can imagine that how they could bear that. Four of their children were killed like this. So the important thing is, Shuka Brahmarshi says there, I'm not thinking about that. That if I have to suffer through all these things, that in order to have Krishna, that we won't get through these examinations. Is it not? It's not possible for ordinary people to go through this kind of distress in life. Most of the people will fail in this exam. And you will even think, suppose you are offered a place that you become the parents of the Krishna's parents in the next life. You will, and if you have to go through all these things, whether you will like to have it or not, that question will come up. So, both of them, they were locked up straight away. You have to remember that when you hear all these things in the Bhagavatam, you have to imagine your own mind, the heart or mind, what Vasudeva and Devaki is facing at this time in their life. Complete life was centered around the misery and distress what Kamsa has created for them. So, and they were put into the prison. And when the next appearance will happen, they didn't know about that. And that is mentioned here also in the second chapter. Krishna is mentioned there that egetam anirundhanam yadaya pariupasade hateshu shatsu baleshu devakya agraseninam. Devakya agraseninam. So by now, they locked him in the prison and the other two more children who were born were killed. So 4 plus 2, another 6 has gone now. And now again she is pregnant. Seventh pregnancy. So this is where all Kamsa's logic, Kamsa's intelligence, Kamsa's MI5 or whatever you call it, all failed there. MI5 also, Kamsa's MI5 could not do the job properly. When the seventh child was born. So the... Who has entered into that pregnancy at that time? What man says here? Saptamo Vaishnavam Dhamma Yam Anandam Prajakshate Garbho Babhuva Devakyam Harsha Shoga Vivardhanaha. That seventh pregnancy, Saptamo Vaishnavam Dhamam Ya Anandam Prajakshate. Anandam Adishesha. Balaram is the one who has entered the seventh pregnancy. And actual Anandamurti, Adishaka himself. And that pregnancy has become 4 months now. Devaki Devi's pregnancy with Adishesha or Anandamurti is 4 months. She is 4 months pregnant. And from Vaikuntha, Mahavishnu is seeing all these things. And you could also see there that Kamsa is already decided in his mind to give trouble to people, because he is becoming restless now, that he's going to be killed, he gets that feeling. And what he did was, Kamsa has done was, all the devotees, or who are Brahmanas, Vaishnavas, or all those who are following religious principles, Kamsa said, they should not be living here, in this country. And nobody could live there. And because Vasudeva and Devaki belonged to the Yadavas. All the Yadavas were also thrown out from there. And whatever Kamsa has done was that people were crying because Kamsa's terror. He was more like a dictator now, using all his authority to frighten people and to throw them out from the kingdom. So when the Brahmanas, because Isa mentions like this, that where does Vishnu get his strength from? Sacrifices. who perform sacrifices? Brahmanas. So if you kill the Brahmana, sacrifices will come to a stop. And that way Vishnu's strength will go. So it's more like a war against Vishnu, which Kamsa has taken up. And therefore the first step is to kill all the Brahmanas or throw them out. When he told that he's going to kill them, they left the country and ran away from there. Brahmanas left. That means all sacrifices stopped. Then all the temples has to be closed down. No more temples, no worship of Vishnu. Then, apart from that, no cows, protection of the cows, won't allow. Cows should be killed. All cows should be killed. Because cow is very dear. Go Brahmana Hidayaja. Isn't it? Cows are, Brahmanas are dear to Vishnu. So, they are the one who give strength to Vishnu. So, therefore, cow killing was encouraged. Brahmanas were thrown out from the kingdom or killed. Temples were all closed down. No sacrifices were allowed. Everything against the principles of Vedic philosophy. In other words, totally against the principles of Veda. So that is what has happened. So that time, Krishna is thinking in this situation that people are suffering now in Kamsa's kingdom. And Krishna knows these things. Why? Suppose if I am feeling pain in my inside, Krishna will know that. It's Antaryami inside, isn't it? People, especially masses of people suffering like that, that pain inside is known to Krishna. Antaryami, he is inside everyone. So particularly realize that devotees who are serving Krishna are having a very hard time. So Krishna decided that let Balaram appear first and I will appear after that. This was the plan. But there is not enough time now. It's getting too late. Because Balaram has to appear, that means another 12 months. It's only 4 months gone now. Another 8 months you have to wait. And I'm not able to bear this 8 months another, this misery for the people. And therefore, what did Krishna do? Krishna calls to Mayadevi. Says to Mayadevi. It is at that time, he says to Mayadevi that, and immediately as soon as Mahavishnu got up and sat down in the Adishesha and remembered Mayadevi appeared there and told her that Mayadevi, to her, Vishnu says to her, there is some business. You got to go to Mathura and you know what the situation there is. In the 8th pregnancy, Devaki Devi has the 7th pregnancy who is present there. So you know who that is. It's my elder brother, Balaram, is sitting there. And Yogavaya says, yes, I know who it is. She says that, I was thinking that after his appearance I will appear. But I was planning, but it is not possible because to that so much, many more months, then people will be going through distress. And therefore, I'm not willing to wait for that. Please do one thing, that go to Devaki Devi and transfer that pregnancy from the womb of Devaki Devi without any problem, and without getting it disturbed in any way. Transfer the whole thing to Rohini's womb. So, which is also another wife of Vasudev, isn't it? So, take her from Rohini's, Devaki's pregnancy from the womb and transfer that pregnancy into Rohini's womb, who is also another wife of that you will see. That the words they have used there is, if you look at the words, you will see there, it mentions that Devakya Jadaram Garbham Sheshakhyam Dhamam Mamakam Tat Sannikrishya Rohinya Udare Sanniveshaya. All words are very special in that word. Devakya Jadare Garbham. That Garbham, which is in Devaki's Jadaram, in the womb. Sheshakhyam Dhamam Mamakam. He is Adishesha who is present there. And Tal Sannikrishya Rohinyam. That Sannikrishya Rohinyam Udare Sanniveshaya. Rohinis take that pregnancy from there, carry the pregnancy and transfer that into Rohini's udaram, Rohini's womb, and Sannivesha, enter there inside and plant her there. Enter into Rohini's womb, enter there and plant that pregnancy there, in there. So modern medicine also says a lot of things they are doing, isn't it? These kind of things. But it's nothing new. It's been happening then also. It has happened. So, but one thing is that it's my brother, elder brother, isn't it? He shouldn't know about it. Balram shouldn't know that he's being transferred from Devaki Devi to Rohini Devi. That is why those words, Sannikrishya, Sanniveshaya, that means the transfer should happen without the person's knowledge, without the person's knowledge. And not only Balram should not know, nor the mother shouldn't know. Devaki shouldn't know, Rohini shouldn't know either. Because one reason is, Krishna knows this before, my elder brother gets angry very quickly. He says about that. That is his nature. So if you transfer like that, he may get up and tell you that, why are you doing this to me? He may come out from there and start asking this question, and you won't have an answer for that. So you will have to do it so carefully that he shouldn't know about it. Without Balram's knowledge, you have to do this. So sometimes he may say, I'm comfortable here, why are you moving me to another bed? If he asks that question, then what will you answer? So, and that should not happen. And if you start asking this question, then things get very difficult. You won't be able to answer my brother. Krishna says to Yogamaya. So that should not happen. Brother shouldn't know. Devaki became pregnant, but Rohini delivered the baby. It should be like that. Devaki became pregnant, but Rohini had the baby. Rohini had the baby. That's all. That should happen. So can you do that? Says to Yogamaya. What is not possible for Yogamaya? She says, Tadhedi Omidi. See the words there? If you look at that, you will see there, in the 14th verse, that he says, Sandishtaivam Bhagavada Tadhedi Omidi Tadvachaha Pradigrihya Parikramyam Gam Tadada Tatadakarod. The way she answers that, Tadhedi Omidi, the respect in the words, as well as her confidence in doing that, everything is in that words. Tadhedi, Omidi, as you like, it will be done. Omidi, I have no problem in doing that. In other words, the word, to show to us, if Maya wants to do something, she can do it. That is Maya's special power. Akadita Gatana, Padiyasi Maya, isn't it? Look at where she is playing with us, all of us. We come here, in this world, 70, 80 years, how many years we have, we don't know. And we do all sorts of things to make us secure here, to establish here, our family life, our glorious householder life, all these things. And one day, she says, that's enough, your time is over, go. We walk out from here, leave, gone. Everything finished here. And you don't know, you never, where you're going, you don't know. No idea, nothing. 70, 80 years, big planning and big actions here. And everything organized properly. Life is so well organized here. You feel as though you are permanent here, isn't it? So good is organizing here. Proper planning, all the programs, whatever you have used. So, but she can change that in a second. Tadhedi, Omidi, the answer, she says to answer. So, and Krishna says to her, when you go to Gokulam, you will feel like when you see them there, those people who are living in Gokulam, cowherd boys, cowherd girls, gopas, gopis, and everybody, that, and when you see their consciousness and their nature, you may feel like taking birth there. Just see that their superior position in Gokulam, that those who are living there, the cowherd boys and cowherd men, Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Devi, and all other personalities who are living there, when you see them, you will feel like taking birth among them. And there is some purpose behind that. You go and take birth there as Yashoda's daughter. Yashoda's daughter. So all these instructions in one lot. Transferring Balram from Devaki Devi to Rohini. Devaki and Rohini should not know about that. Balram should not know about that. After that's done, you go to Gokul and take birth there. Among the cowherd boys and cowherd girls there, Nandamai Raj Yashoda Devi, you will see when you read Bhagavatam the beautiful life they led there, how simple and how pure they were in their dealings each other, their happiness and their satisfaction in life, how they dealt with Krishna. These are a good reminiscences of the life they led in that time, in this world. So, she brings her head down in acceptance of all the instructions, and Maya Bhagavati left there. And so, here you can see Maya, once she decides to do something, how capable she is in executing the order. So, Devaki's seventh pregnancy, in the fourth month, she took it over, responsibility from the womb, and transferred that into Rohini. She can do, she is capable of doing all that. All of them, what they thought was that all those who were present in the Mathura, Vasudev and Devaki, they were thinking, Garbhe pranide devakyam rohinim yoganidraya aho visramsido garbham idi paura vichukrushu. That pregnancy has, what do they say? Miscarriage. Miscarriage happened. That's what everybody thought. Who? Vasudev, Devaki, and everybody else has thought that it was a miscarriage. Aho visramsido garbham. Visramsam is this miscarriage. Garbham. Idi paura vichukrushu. All the people thought that Devaki had a miscarriage. Devaki had a miscarriage. So, here, and they thought that because Devaki was frightened about Kamsa so much, because of the fear developed so intensely inside, that is why this miscarriage happened. The people started talking in this way about that incident. So, but the reality only Krishna knew and Maya Devi knew. Nobody else knew what was happening. But people are talking like this about this incident. Including Balaram didn't know. That's the beauty of that. Balaram even didn't know about this. So, in this way, first six children had gone, they've been killed. And seventh one, in the fourth month of the pregnancy, has gone in this way. So imagine Vasudeva and Devaki's situation again now. What an amount of distress they would be going through, isn't it? That they had these six children, Kamsa killed in this most brutal way, killed them. And this seventh one has gone as a miscarriage, it's lost. So it is at that time that you will see what was happening in the prison. It says here, Tato jaganmangalam achyutamsham samahitam shurasutena devi dadhara sarvalpadamalpa bhudam kashta yathanandagaram manastaham. Shubramarshi mentioned something about Vasudeva and Devaki, what was happening there. Tato jaganmangalam achyutamsham samahitam shurasutena devi. Then, when distress comes in life, a devotee will take shelter of Krishna. Is it not? That is a devotee's nature. When distress comes in life, he thinks, he becomes more Krishna conscious. Not that you withdraw from Krishna. It is non-devotee nature, that is. When we have more distress in life, especially in a very disturbing situation like this, what has happened, they became more Krishna conscious. In other words, surrender became more. And Vasudeva is sitting in the prison and he is chanting the holy name, Krishna's holy name. And he is thinking about Krishna, why all these things are happening in my life and what's the way to come out from this. So Vasudeva is also thinking how many devotees were protected by Krishna in previous instances. Why I am not getting protection? Devotees' mind work in a different way. When distress comes, devotee doesn't panic. Devotee is very firm inside. He knows if something is happening, there must be a reason behind it. That's the first thing. To understand that, if distress is coming in life, one after the other, there must be a reason behind it. Otherwise, it cannot happen. But people who do not have proper Krishna consciousness, what they will say, what's the use going to temple? What's the point in chanting? What's the point in reading Bhagavad? What's the point in satsangam? It's all a waste of time. They will turn exactly in the opposite way. But devotee, if you have bhakti, proper bhakti inside, when distress comes in life, you won't go disturbed over that. Instead, that control of the mind will be so strong that you will understand that there must be a reason behind this, why this is happening. And they will think more about it, that how Krishna has protected devotees when there was distress in their life. And Vasudeva is thinking that all these things are happening right in front of my eyes. 6 children were cut into pieces and thrown away. The 7th one was had the miscarriage like this. And what's the point in this whole marriage is going to go? And this way, thinking about it, Vasudeva's tears started coming from his eyes. Naturally, the distress is there to that extent. It was at that time, when Vasudeva was going through this situation, suddenly inside Krishna appeared in the heart. It's not like a pregnancy, like the ordinary pregnancy. First, Krishna appears in Vasudeva's heart. Vasudeva's heart. And that form of Krishna, what Vasudeva saw inside the heart of, in his own heart, a form of Krishna. Vilumangalam talks about that. In Karnamrtam you will see how he saw Krishna there inside Vilumangalam. Vilumangalam, Krishna has shown all that to Vilumangalam later on in his dream state. Everything was revealed to him. That's why Vilumangalam writes them in the Karnamrtam in the same way. So Vasudeva is sitting there and all different parts of his body and appeared Nishtamas with a four-handed form. It is not two-handed form. In the four-handed form it is appeared inside. And it is not appearance, you can't call it. That what you have to say that is Krishna was there inside in the four-handed form. In the four-handed form. So and Vasudeva got completely absorbed in that and he saw in four hands, conch shell, disc, lotus flower and the club, and the golden anklets, and so many other things. And Vasudeva was meditating on all this form, and looking at that form, and experiencing that inside. It is in realization now, this is happening. Not in through the eyes he is seeing. Every time you will notice this, for Dhruva also, he appeared inside. And Naramarshi also appeared inside. Vasudeva also, Krishna appeared inside first. And Vasudeva is simply crying, enjoying that experience inside. Krishna's, he's experiencing Krishna inside. Antaryami inside has a form. And then if you get that experience of Antaryami, this is Krishna doesn't have to come from anywhere, it's already there. But only thing is now Vasudeva is seeing and experiencing that within himself. And tears are coming from the eyes. And Devaki Devi is sitting, because now you have to remember they are both in the prison. Vasudeva has locked them up both. So, and after 6 children are dead, and the 7th one has gone, lost it, and she is in a very distressed state sitting there. So after seeing Vasudeva's happiness in the face, that mother Devaki asked Vasudeva like this, why are you feeling so happy about? What are you feeling so happy about? And all this time I was seeing distress on your face. Why suddenly a happiness? So, and you are also looking very extremely blissful and excited about it. And when I look at you, also find some changes on your face. That presence of Krishna inside has even affected his gross body, who Vasudeva's gross body. Even that has changed its complexion. It was looking very illuminating nature. So seeing all these things, and children had dead and gone, and living in this prison, and I am not feeling anything different. I am feeling totally miserable. And Vasudeva is saying, I am seeing that form inside me, Krishna's presence inside. When Krishna was saying this, when Vasudeva was saying this, suddenly Vasudeva lost it, and Devaki started feeling that straight away. Vasudeva lost that blissful experience what he was having of presence of Krishna inside. He lost it and Devaki started experiencing exactly the same thing what Vasudeva was saying. It is these two different times, those two different prayers what you see in the Bhagavatam. Vasudeva's glorification and Devaki Devi's glorification which we have discussed before. And from those prayers you can understand that what level they are at. Vasudeva and Devaki is, isn't it? So Devaki started saying, I'm feeling a great happiness inside and I've forgotten all my distress. In other words, once Krishna comes in, this material distress, what we experience in this world, will leave us. It won't stay. It cannot stay. That is the nature of this material existence. So Devaki says to him, what you say is the truth, that what you have experienced, great personalities like you, you will definitely have Krishna's grace, otherwise this wouldn't have happened. But I was not experiencing, but I'm trying to close my eyes and trying to meditate on that form. But every time when I was closing my eyes and trying to meditate, what comes to my mind was my brother coming with the sword and killing those six children before. That is not going away from inside. Devaki was expressing her mind to Vasudeva at that time. I can't even think about it. It is that time it is coming to me. So, and if you are seeing, this is just before the transfer, this conversation between Devaki and Vasudeva. Devaki says to Vasudeva, in your inside you are feeling it so clearly, Krishna's presence inside. Explain to me how you feel that, what you are experiencing there. At least let me enjoy hearing this from you. And Vasudeva had no difficulty in expressing that, because that form what he was experiencing inside, he says there, Krishna's different bodily features. The peacock feather, the beautiful black hair, and earrings, and the beautiful cheeks, more than anything else, the beautiful eye, the nose, the lips, the face, and the neck, and Krishna's bodily features, one after the other. Vasudeva started explaining these things to Devaki Devi. And Devaki Devi, when Vasudeva is explaining this, Devaki is saying to Vasudeva, don't stop it, keep going, talking about it. And at the same time, Vasudeva is explaining this, this form is appearing in Devaki's heart. The form is appearing in Devaki's heart. So then she is saying, I can see the whole form inside me now. Inside me now. At that time, Vasudeva's face went very, very dry. Vasudeva felt very bad. Why? Because Vasudeva is not able to see him anymore, like the way he was seeing before. The whole transfer has happened from Vasudeva to Devaki. So you can imagine, when Vasudeva was explaining the form of Krishna, what he was saying inside, that is Vasudeva's study in the Bhagavatam. Vasudeva's study in the Bhagavatam is that. And when Vasudeva finished that form of Vishnu, what he has spoken, Krishna's form, when he spoke that, Vasudeva lost it. And the whole form appeared in Devaki's heart, and Devaki started the prayers then. So initially Vasudeva's prayers, and now Devaki's prayers. That's why in the Bhagavatam you will see one next to each other. Vasudeva's study, immediately after Devaki's study. The reason is this, that along with the study, glorification, the form is leaving Vasudeva, first initially appearing in Vasudeva's heart, and then when the study is glorification, prayers are over, that form is disappearing and appearing in Devaki's heart, and then Devaki offering her prayers. That's why those two prayers are next to each other in the Bhagavatam. You can see that. And in those prayers, they couldn't glorify Krishna. Who can glorify Krishna's position? So Krishna gave the intelligence to use the right words. That's why when you read those verses, you can't believe that this is coming from Vasudeva and Devaki. Even the topmost Vedantam cannot explain Vasudeva in that way it is spoken, or Devaki has spoken in that way. Both of them were knew what they were talking. They, as much as they were speaking, Krishna was speaking through them for their sake. Krishna was speaking through them. And when they were speaking, they were experiencing it inside. All this is implied in that verses. So that is what has happened there. So we will finish by 7 o'clock in a few more minutes. So Vasudeva mentions there, and when they started seeing there, so you know how this is compared to? This is compared to, if you look at the commentary of Sanatana Goswami, Vishwanatha Chakravarti and all that, what they are saying is that this transfer that has happened from Vasudeva's heart to Devaki's heart is like a realized soul, a great realized soul, when he transfers self-realization to someone else, a disciple of him. how that knowledge gets transferred from the spiritual master's heart to disciple's heart is exactly like that. This transfer of Krishna. Now you can understand the gravity of the whole thing. That it's not a simple thing. When a self-realized spiritual master, self-realized soul, remember, we make it very simple, isn't it? For them, we are saying, oh, what's this so big deal? We say, it's only you have to get initiated, everything is over. We say, it's not that simple. What Krishna is saying here is, acharyas are saying this, great devotees, they are saying, it is like that when Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Tadvidhi pranibhadena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshandide jnanam jnaninas tattvadarshina. It means something. It's not such a simple statement. Tattvadarshina jnani, when he transfers that self-realization to somebody else. This is why normally you have the first father as a spiritual master. He gives you instructions in spiritual life. Then you have the teacher or the guru who teaches you shastram and bring you up to a certain stage. But he may not be self-realized. But finally, you require a self-realized soul to give you that final realization. That is when everything happens. Up to that time, you have no experience of the truth. All you are doing is theoretically you have understood a lot of things, or you have learned a lot of things through the father and through the spiritual master. But finally, when does it happen? It happens at that time. You will see this in the Sudama's episode, when Krishna mentions this very clearly, that where he says there, who is a guru? Guru is that person who finally transfers that knowledge onto you and make you experience that truth. From there you will never be able to go back. You are established in that truth properly. That is the guru. And that is what referring to here also. So you can see here that Vasudev could not say anything. Vasudev was losing everything. And this transfer, what has happened? Commentators are saying like this, that how a self-realized spiritual master transfers that knowledge of the self from inside to the disciple's heart, it's exactly the same way that this has happened. That is, if you leave the Lila Sasanama, it will mention there, Kameshwara Mukhaloka Kalpita Shri Ganeshwara. That is a statement there. So, here, it is not an ordinary human activity, what has happened here. Particularly, it's an extremely divine transfer that has happened. So, after this all happened, then Devaki is showing the symptoms of pregnancy. After all this has happened. And Kamsa has appointed special soldiers to report back, and he has told them that as soon as there is a pregnancy, it should be told, it should be reported. And when, as soon as the sentries or the soldiers who were standing there, they came to know that Devaki is pregnant, they immediately went and reported to Kamsa, told Kamsa this thing. Kamsa having a good sleep at that time. And Kamsa, first confusion came. They are coming and telling us that this is the pregnancy, 8th pregnancy. Kamsa got confused. Is the 7th or 8th? This confusion came up to Kamsa's mind. So Kamsa remember very well that Krishna has given this problem to Kamsa to solve. That 6 children were killed before, and 7th one was... What do you say? 7th one was... What did you say? Miscarriage, yes. So these words are ready. 7th one was miscarriage happened, isn't it? So Kamsa started thinking that miscarriage one should I take into account or not? That question comes, isn't it? Kamsa's mathematics is not very good. Kamsa has big problem in counting. Kamsa's problem with all these solutions. So he says to him that Kamsa decided that I'll go and find out whether it is Vishnu who had come. And the soldiers who are guarding the watchmen, who are guarding the prison, they have not gone inside. to the prison.
They knew that Devaki is pregnant, that was they are supposed to report that.
So when they opened the, when Kamsa came, they opened the prison door. When they opened the prison door, they saw that there was a blue light inside. And immediately Kamsa decided that, oh, this is Vishnu himself. Why otherwise there is this blue light coming from? And this is Hari. And he says here, if you look into that 21st verse, you will see there, that kimadya dasmin karaniyam ashutte yadartha dandro nivihandi vikramam sriyasasur gurimatyavathoyam yashashriyam handyanugalamayu. This is the words from there. Kamsa has to make a decision now. Should I kill this baby, or should I kill the Devaki straight away? One incident. That's very bad. First of all, woman. Secondly, pregnant. In this situation is the most abominable thing to do. And let Vishnu come out from the womb. And then Kamsa says to the prison officers there, who are present there, that lock up the prison very well, and appointed another 4 more prison officers there to keep a close eye. And 2 of them you stand in the day, 2 of them you stand in the night, so that 24 hours there is probably, obviously there was no camera then, I suppose. And otherwise Kamsa put the cameras on. But Kamsa thought, even I can't trust the camera, he says. So he decided to put these men in charge there and change in their dawn. So even if it's midnight, when Devaki has the baby, come and inform me straight away, he said. And Kamsa went back to the palace. And Kamsa had a problem at that time, that Kamsa developed a fear inside. After this incident, Devaki has become pregnant. It is 7th or 8th confusion. And sometimes he thought it is the 8th. As soon as he thought it's the 8th, fear came inside. And fear caught him so strongly, he says here, that it became very intense inside. And he says that I saw that light inside. That means it must be the 8th one. There's a blue color inside the prison room, prison house. So Kamsa looked back and he felt that the blue color is following him. The blue light is following him. You know that this happens in life, isn't it? If you become, especially in the villages, in the dark, when you walk, suddenly there is a post and it is painted white. And say you got a fear, there is some ghost or something there, and you keep walking and you're looking back, is it following me? And then suddenly you get a fear, yes, it is following me. Then inside is gone. The whole air is gone from inside. It happens. Isn't it? In the darkness, all sorts of fear develops like that. So Kamsa is looking back. Is that blue light following me? And every time he look back, and then he's a strong person, but he's walking in the front also. But every time he gets a fear, he looks back, he thought that there is a blue color following him. So at that time, Kamsa says to these soldiers to come to him and accompany him, to go from the prison to the palace. He goes with them. And on both sides, 2 people, friend and 2, and in the back, 2 others. So, and Kamsa gave them a special dress as well as a stick in their hand. And he told them that keep an eye for Mahavishnu if he is coming anywhere, from the sides or from the other areas. So he arrived there at the palace where Kamsa was living there. And he got on to his throne and he sat there. So as soon as he sat on the throne, he got up straight away. He couldn't sit there. He got frightened. And Kamsa got frightened. Kamsa says that this Mahavishnu, he know how to use Maya, power of Maya, Mayavi. He is a capacity to control, use the Maya. He knows history very well, who Kamsa. Prior to this, Satyavrata Muni, for Sandhyavandanam, he took the water in the hand. Remember, fish incarnation. So, at that time, like a little fish, it appeared in the water. And then he expanded himself into a huge form. And that's the fish incarnation. And tied into the boat, and Satyavrata sat in the boat,
And our fish incarnation, Krishna, Mahavishnu's fish incarnation, dragged the boat for 7 kalpam in the water. So many things he did like this. So he is capable of doing such things. Then he also knew what all Mahavishnu has done in the past. From Brahma's one of the nostrils, he jumped out once. Is it not? And came as Varaha. Varaham is like that. Varaham birth is a little baby Varaham, baby boar, jumped out of one of the nostrils of Brahma and then expanded and became huge. And who killed Hiranyaksha? Kamsa knows all these things. Kamsa knows Vishnu is capable of doing all these things. And more than that, he is capable of doing also what he has done in the past, that he can also take birth without a mother. He is capable of doing that. He remembers that. Because when he came as Narasimham, where is the mother? You couldn't even know that. Pillar will never be pregnant, would it? But from pillar comes out. And whenever he asks, he says, that's my mother, pointing out to the pillar. Pillar is Narasimha Murthy's mother, is it not? So, knowing all these things, Kamsa thought, such a thing can happen. Such a thing can happen again. No, it has happened with Narasimha, it has happened with fish incarnation, it has happened with Varaham. So why not now? Kamsa's fear is very much justified. So this is all Maya's power. So, and Kamsa's throne is a lot of cushion in that, very comfortable. Nice cushion was packed inside. So he says to there at that time, and told these soldiers, check inside their cushion if Mahavishnu is present there. Find out if it is there. So after that, Kamsa could never sit on that cushion properly. Always the fear is Mahavishnu may get into that cushion. If he can get into the pillar, what's the problem in getting into the cushion, he says. So, and afterward, when he was drinking water, Kamsa will filter the water. Because he was frightened that that he can come as a bacteria or the germs through the water. Like we filter, isn't it? With the best filters we use. Although we are drinking urine, we are happy water filtering it. We don't have any problem with that. So anyway, there's no better not to discuss it because it's sometimes frightening. And anyway, this has happened. Kamsa is filtering the water and drinking. Sugar Brahma, she's making a joke of it. You know what he said? He says there that this thing, Kamsa is now like a sannyasi. Sannyasis filter water. It is in the Bhagavatam. If you look, Vanaprastham stage, when you go, Vastrapodam Nyasepadam. That when every step if you make, you have to make sure there is no living entity there. That's how sannyasis walk. Sannyasis are supposed to walk like that. That every, because in sannyasam, no violence is allowed. You can't kill any living entity. So what for? Therefore they do, when they walk, they put the feet, before they put the feet, they'll check if there's any other living being there. That's one. Secondly, water, through water, living beings can get inside. So they filter the water all the time. These symptoms are mentioned in the Ekadasha Skandam for a sannyasi. Sugra Brahmarshi says, Kamsa was following sannyasa ashrama very strictly now. At this time, he was like a sannyasi he was. 24 hours conscious that anybody is going to die. And therefore, he will drink water only after. Drishtibhudam yadel padam vastrabhudam pibet jalam. This is the verse in the 11th canto. Drishtibhudam nyasel padam. That he will not put his feet unless he has seen the place. That's clear of all living entities. And vastrabhudam pibet jalam. Unless you filter it through the cloth, he won't drink the water. So, Krishna says this as a requirement for a sannyasi in his in that stage. And Kamsa was already, he has taken sannyasam now in this stage. So, and if anybody comes to see Kamsa, Kamsa will think, here comes Vishnu. He started thinking like that, feeling in that way. So, then, so that is what has happened here, that Kamsa had two wives, Asti and Prapti. So, and these are not new names. It's very interesting names also, this Asti and Prapti. So sometimes they will come to see their husband.
And when they were coming, sometimes they had to see the husband, isn't it, once in a way. So when they're coming from a long distance, and you know what Kamsa used to think? Kamsa, here comes Vishnu, seeing the wives. And he'll pull out the sword and ready to kill them, thinking that Vishnu is coming in two different forms. They used to think like that. So wherever Kamsa looked, it's all Vishnu, 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 nothing but Vishnu. Completely Krishna conscious, in other words. Completely Krishna conscious. Imagine that situation. We are also like that, imagine that. That we are struggling for 1 second to think Krishna, about Krishna, isn't it? Because our mind is so serious in Krishna consciousness that even for a second we are struggling. Here comes Kamsa, who is 24 hours thinking about Krishna, all the time. So that is what it is mentioned there, you will see, in the 24th verse. Asena samvisham sthishtan bunjana paryadan mahim chindayanam hrishikesham apashyat tanmayam jagat. Famous words. Asena samvisham sthishtan bunjanam paryadan mahim and chindayanam hrishikesham. Thinking about Krishna 24 hours in this way, Krishna here became self-realized. Apashyat tanmayam jagat. Wherever he looked in this creation, there is only Krishna everywhere. This is what we want to reach at the, finally, isn't it? To come to self-realized stage. And this has happened to Kamsa. Imagine that. Asina sammishastishtan bunjanam paryatan mahim chindayano hrishikesham. Thinking about Krishna 24 hours like this. He says, apashyat tanmayam jagat. The whole world, there's only Krishna in this creation. Anyone and everyone, when he looked at, it's all Krishna. Everywhere he is seeing Krishna. So, when these wives came, Asi and Prapti came together, that he pulled out the sword and ready to kill them. At that time, the soldiers were standing there. They told Kamsa, Kamsa, don't do that. My dear king, they are your wives who are coming now. Don't do that. Oh, he said, oh, I thought their Vishnu is coming. He said like that to him. So, sarvam krishnamayam jagat. So, it is this stage Kamsa has reached and only one emotion inside, fear. Nothing but fear. We will leave that like that. That scene, another scene that's going on there. Now, we have to go to the present now. What's happening there? The last scene, what that has happened there. So, almost the time for Krishna to appear now. And it is this today, what we are having, Ashtami day, that particular day has happened there. And all of us have arrived in the present. So we have one scene happening in the Vaikuntham, another scene happening in the Mathura, in the Kamsa's, in the then Kamsa's palace. And now a third scene, what's happening in the place where appearance is happening. That evening hours and all the demigods, including Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Indra, and all the great personalities, and all different species, Siddhas, Charanas, Gandharvas, who are all from the higher planets, they have all assembled in the sky to witness this appearance of Krishna. Appearance of Krishna. So, not only that, Apsaras women, they were dancing, and they were making happiness, a happy situation everywhere. And we cannot go there, because all the great personalities are there. So Shubhramarshi mentions there that we will all stand behind a little bit and see what they are doing there. This is how it is in the Bhagavad. That you don't go inside and look what's going on there now. No, you are not. You have no entry there, no permission to go in there. But we can understand that from the way Shubhramarshi is saying there, what's happening inside the prison. So the door of the prison is closed, but and although it is locked up, all these great personalities entered inside the prison. They have the capacity to go inside even if it is locked up. This is the important thing. That Brahma, Shiva and all that, if they want to get inside, our so-called latest door with Yale bolt and all that won't help. It will not work there. So they all got inside. And now Shukha Brahmashi is telling us what is going on inside the prison. We can't see anything from outside. We have to accept what he is telling us, what Sudeva Goswami is telling us, what is happening inside the prison. The door is locked. Nobody has entry inside. And all we can do is, as soon as Brahma entered inside, the most famous or prayers to Krishna of Brahma, which is called Garbhastuti, happened there. Garbhastuti means while Krishna has not come, he is inside. But sitting inside, standing outside, Brahma, Shiva and all the other great personalities, they are glorifying Krishna, which is known as Garbhastuti. And it is there that this famous verse comes, Satyavradam, Satyaparam, Trisatyam, Satyasya Yonim, Nihitanja Satye, Satyasya Satyam, Krita Satya Netram, Satyalmagam Tvam, Sharanam, Prapannaha. It is one of the most famous verses in the Bhagavatam. And you will see, you look at that verse, it is exactly right in the middle of Bhagavatam this verse comes. After the 18,000 verses, if you look, this will be the verse which comes right in the middle. Bhagavatam begins with Satyam Param Dhimahi. Bhagavatam finishes with Satyam Param Dhimahi. And that same word as Satyam, Shobramarshi has used right in this verse, right in the middle of Bhagavatam, exactly in the middle of Bhagavatam. Satyam Pradam Satyaparam Trisatyam Satyasyayo Nimnihidanja Satye Satyasya Satyam Hrita Satyanetram Satyalmagam Tvam Sharanam Prapannaha. This verse has been spoken and expanded by the great personalities, great devotees, great acharyas. They have given commentaries on this verse exactly like the way they have commented on the first verse. Chanmadhyasayadaha. It is goes into in depth so much. We have spoken about this when we discussed the 10th canto before. So won't get into that Garbhastuti. Garbhastuti is such an important topic. So normally it is a practice. Anytime when Krishna comes, Brahma will come twice. First when Krishna comes into the womb and offer the prayers, Brahma's prayers. Then after Krishna has come out or the incarnation has come out, Brahma will come and make the offer the prayers again. This is the system what has been followed before. In two or three occasions it didn't work for Brahma. One was Narasimha. Brahma couldn't do anything about it. Because when could you say that the pillar became pregnant? So Brahma didn't know. There he was helpless. He couldn't do it. Narasimha came out and after killing and nobody could go closer to him. That was the situation. So there Brahma didn't have the opportunity to make that prayers. So Garbhastuti did not happen in Narasimha incarnation. Narasimhavadaram, there is no Garbhastuti. Or like Sri Ramavadaram, there is Garbhastuti. And here also you see there is Garbhastuti. But in Narasimhavadaram, Garbhastuti was not possible because he came out from the pillar. What can you do? So, because when did the pillar become pregnant? When will you know that? So, Brahma could not do anything. So, there a mistake happened. There's nothing he could do about it. So that is one incarnation where this mistake happened. Serious mistake happened. But here, he decided, in Krishnavadaram, no mistake. Everything should go properly. There must be a Garbhastuti, he said. Before he comes out, there must be prayers. After he comes out, there must be prayers. So he got inside the prison house and with all the demigods together, they offered the prayers to Krishna while he is inside Devaki Devi. So, and it was at the same time Krishna is inside. Imagine what Devaki's state is at that time. When Krishna is present inside, what is that state? You are in the samadhi state, isn't it? That one, what we call a self-realization, she is experiencing it at that time, inside. And that bliss, satta chitta anandam, that what we call a nitya shuddha buddha mukta swarupam, she is not experiencing anymore her material body. She is in the liberated state because of Krishna's presence inside. And experiencing that happiness and the bliss, she is sitting there. And next to that, Vasudeva is standing there. And what did they do? They circumambulated Vasudeva and Devaki because of Krishna's presence inside. Devaki, Brahma and others. And that Brahma is seeing Krishna who is inside the womb of Devaki Devi. And there, that famous prayers, what you have to look back into the previous classes what we had. So we'll have to leave all that. And that is an interesting prayers because this is one instance when Brahma made first mistake. First started glorifying Krishna as the the impersonal Brahma situated in the spiritual world and all that. Krishna changed from one side to the other. And I don't want to hear all these things here. I have not come here to hear about all that kind of glorifications, he says like that. And then finally, that prayers, if you read, you will see Brahma. Immediately, Brahma was very intelligent. He sensed that my prayers is not going in the right way. What Krishna is looking for is something different than what I have spoken. Brahma first thought, I will show my scholarship and my knowledge to Krishna. Krishna didn't want to hear all that. Krishna wanted a proper prayer from a devotee. So Brahma changed the whole tone of the prayer, which if you go back to the old classes and listen, you will see there, that Brahma spoke in a different way and that all these things have happened. And when everything was over, Krishna says to Brahma that I have not come here to hear this Vedantam, he said. I've come to hear that what a devotee has to say to me about that. So after this thing was over, and Brahma says to Krishna that there is no other way, I have to take shelter except your lotus feet. In that way, the prayer was over. And when the prayer was over, that Brahma leaves that place. Brahma leaves that place. It was at that time that the appearances happened. Then, meanwhile, Krishna had to be... Krishna appeared from there, and that time Shiva Brahma, she says, Tom Albudam Balagam Ambujakshanam Chadabujam Shankagathayudhayudam Srivalsa Lakshmam Galashopa Kaustubam Pidambaram Sandra Payoda Saupagam Maharha Vaiduri Kirida Kundalam Dushwa Parishatta Sahasra Kundalam Uddhama Kanjengada Kankanadir Virajamanam Vasudeva Maikshada. The way Vasudev saw Krishna at that time is spoken in the next two verses. And after that, leaving there, that then Vasudev looking at that baby, and Vasudev next transports that child to Gokulam later. So it is that is where that appearance happens in the Bhagavatam. Actually, to talk all these things in detail takes a long more time. We don't have that much time, it's only 5 past 7. So we'll stop there today. Next Saturday we'll continue Bhagavad Gita. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.
Yadya Prabhu ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai.